The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I just see the face, I can't forget the time or place when we just met. She's just a girl for me, and I want all the world to see you. Had it been another day, I might have looked the other way, and I'd have never been aware. But as it is, I'll dream of her tonight. I just see the face, I can't forget the time or place when we just met. She's just a girl for me, and I want all the world to see you. Had it been another day, I might have looked the other way, and I'd have never been aware. But as it is, I'll dream of her tonight.
We're joined by Jeff Lloyd.
Hi. I'm glad to see your beard is back.
The beard is back, but funnily enough, good evening to listeners. This is a late night alternative. Ian Lee, Catherine is there.
Hello.
If you're watching on Periscope, you can see the back of Catherine's head. Some might say that is the best part of Catherine's head. I wouldn't say. I think
who would say that?
As somebody who can see the front of her head, she has no beard.
No, not today.
Yeah. No. Well, have you? But you've never seen the side of her head.
I'm just that's saying, why I keep it.
That is impressive. Jeff Lloyd. Broadcaster. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you.
I was going to compile a list, but I didn't know what the list.
I don't think there's very much on the list, to be honest. And I think broadcaster's probably a stretch these days.
But then, well, there will be people who are going, hang on a minute, I know that voice. You were at Virgin Radio, then Absolute. How long were you there for? You were there for
18 years, yeah.
18 years.
Yeah, and I finished in April of this year. And it's very strange because you get a bit institutionalised.
I mean, of course you do, yeah.
You know. So I got to a point where I was thinking, and this, to be fair, this was about 3 years ago. So when I hit the 15-year mark,
yeah.
I was coming up for, shall I sign another contract? I was like, I don't know if I should sign another contract.
Wow.
I you know, should I try and get a few other things going?
Yeah.
But we'd had building work done at the time, and I figured out that if I could, you know, get 3 years out of them,
yeah,
then I could save up the money that we'd spent on the building work.
Oh, wow.
So that's what I did. I signed a contract for 3 years, and it had just been sold at the time.
Can I just stop? Let me interrupt for a second. Yeah. Catherine.
Yeah.
18 years in the same place, 3 year contracts? What the hell? What is this foreign language this man is speaking to me? I don't understand a word of it. Go on.
So we've just been sold to this very big, successful radio company who own Magic FM and Kiss FM, and they're very sort of professional and...
the great radio stations of our time.
You know, all the things that you would expect. and pretty soon, I thought, I'm not sure if my face fits here anymore, right, really. And I would, you know, I like doing the show. The show is always fun when you're on the air doing this stuff. But I'd get home and be moaning about one thing or another to my wife. And she would just say, well, that's the deal with the devil you made, isn't it?
Yeah.
You said you wanted to save this money up. And so treat it like a prison sentence, which is what I did. And it was a very enjoyable and lucrative prison sentence in these ways. But I was just ready for a change, you know.
I've been a fan of yours for ages.
Oh, stop it.
No, I have. Go on.
No, just the
say it.
Discomfort of you making eye contact as you say something like that.
Listen,
we should be looking at our feet when we say things like that,
We are both going to find the next 50 minutes awful.
Yeah.
And when you go, I'm sure you'll be saying to your wife, I don't think it went terribly. And when you go, I will be saying to Catherine, I don't think he likes me. I just don't think it.
But I just like you. No, I just like you.
Oh, but, God, shall I go?
No, but here's my problem, is that I think that anybody liking me is something that could change in the second.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm constantly worrying about what have I just said, what have I just done.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody likes me, I just think there's only one way it can go from here, is down.
I worked at Virgin very briefly, then Absolute. I think I was there maybe 3 or 4 years, I don't know, at the same time you were. And we did a phone-in one night, over several nights, of how do I make Jeff Lloyd my friend? I don't know if you were ever aware of this.
No, I was aware of this. Yeah, I think we talked about similar things on our show as well.
And years later, it's still not happening. I always got the impression that Absolute didn't know what they had with you. Do you know what I mean? I just felt that you didn't get the respect that you deserved.
Because
you're very knowledgeable about music. You know about music. You know, you're a very intelligent, funny man.
So Virgin Radio have been around forever, and people will know that from Chris Evans days and Russ and Jono dressed as bananas on TV commercials and all those things, and Richard Branson doing stunts dressed as an air hostess usually.
Jono.
Yeah.
Jono.
Still with us. That little heart of his is still pumping the blood against the odds.
It's buried in the basement, isn't it? Yes.
It is. And then what happened was Virgin Radio, Chris Evans sold it for this huge sum of money to a Scottish company, and all of a sudden they got this radio station which was worthless once Chris Evans had gone, really.
Yeah.
So they needed to flog it. And we ended up being sold to the biggest newspaper in the world. It was the Times of India, and it was run by this very forward-thinking British company, these really great radio guys, and they came in, and I was about to leave. I'd been offered a breakfast show somewhere else, and they persuaded me to stay. They said this radio station, we're going to try and do radio differently in this country. Commercial radio is where people just go for background music and the same songs all over again, and BBC is where people go for the good stuff, for the challenge.
We're going to introduce the no repeat guarantee.
That was already there. So they had this idea that they were going to play more songs than other radio stations. They were going to go deeper, and they were going to give DJs some input, and all this stuff that sounded very promising.
Yeah.
And it was for about the first year or so.
Yeah.
And then what happened was the recession hit. Well, they needed to give it time. I mean, they needed to give it, but the recession hit. It's 2008, 2009. And they got into this lawsuit. So they came up with this name, Absolute Radio, which they unveiled to great fanfare. And a weird thing at the time was people were emailing in and saying, I've listened to Virgin Radio for 15 years or whatever it was. Absolute, I'm not listening to that. I'm thinking, what's wrong with you? It's just a word. You don't know what it is.
The name was either unveiled on my show or your show.
I think it was me.
I got to unveil the new name, and it was like, and the boss, Clive, who later sacked me, said, this is a great honour you get. And I was like, and the new station is...
So how did you do it? Did you do it with a great fanfare?
Oh, do you know what I did? I played a song. I played a song. I remember, in fact, I think this is what I did. I said, look, the station has been taken over, and I know that everyone is really worried about the direction that the station is going to go, but please don't panic, because we have got a very exciting new musical agenda, and all music from now on will be this.
Mama put the popcorn kernels in the pot. She turned up the heat.
Here we go.
Now the pot is getting hot.
I was going to say, don't panic, guys. I know you all love your music. And just to say, we're going to be focusing on the greatest genre of all time. I present Absolute Radio. It didn't go down very well with Clive.
No.
I have to say, Clive never sacked me, so I think very highly of him. Had he sacked me, maybe I would think differently, but I thought he was...
You know, when he sacked me, you don't get sacked. You just don't get your contract renewed. And I was kind of pushing him, and I found out 4 months before the end of the month, he said, we're not going to renew it. And I said, I'll go on air and say goodbye. He said, no, you won't. You'll go home. And I did... Do you know what I did? This was how mature and grown up I was.
Oh, God.
No. I looked him in the eye, I shook his hand, I said, thank you very much for letting me play on your station. I appreciate it.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
And I just think those guys... I won't do the same thing. But I just think those guys were up against it. Because, so they changed the name. And then as soon as they announced they'd changed the name, they get a legal letter from Absolute Vodka.
Yeah.
And it turns into this huge lawsuit. And the Indian firm that had bought the radio station, they just got cold feet, you know. There was the recession, and they pulled. They were going to spend more money than anybody had ever spent on commercial radio. They were going to launch like the their own equivalent of Spotify. There were all these grand plans, which were hugely exciting, but they got cold feet. And I think Absolute did a really good job in those early years under very difficult circumstances. But I knew that the thing had changed with the music when one day. People may be listening to this thinking that people on music radio get to pick their records.
Oh, God, naive
fools. Of course not. Of course, you get a computer printout telling you what to play.
Yes.
And the music on my show, I think, was a bit better than some of the others because they knew that I'd just act like a baby if I got like terrible music. So it's through petulance the music was slightly better. Anyway, so I got given Black Crowes turgid version of Hard to Handle to play one day, which I mean to my ears sounds like a pub band covering a soul classic.
Yes.
So I switched it for Otis Redding's version.
Yeah.
And the panic and the fury that unleashed in the music department.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, there is not one person listening to this. There is not one person listening to this who is going, oh, I don't like this, it's a black person singing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, it was very kind of blue jean, white rock a lot of the time. And I just felt you could probably broaden it out a bit. And that's what they wanted to do in the early days of Absolute. But, you need to hold your nerve. You need to stick with something like that for 3 or 4 years.
Oh, you need to do it for 3 years minimum, which is what, how long into this experiment are we?
Year and a half.
18 months.
No, but it's starting to bear fruit for you, though, isn't it?
It's starting to. The figures are going up for the station. I found out the figures for Julie Hartley Brew as well.
Oh, yeah.
I think we can say 97,000. That's we've got 60, so we're not far off. We're not far off.
Oh, yeah, snapping at her heels.
We're snapping at her heels.
I imagine they're all the same people as well, because there's a lot of crossover between what
definitely.
The two of you do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course there is. Yeah. There is. I missed out on all the backstage gossip and politics, Absolute, because I was there in the evening. My favourite slot is to come in and do the late night.
Mine too. Because I did this slot on Virgin for 3 years, and by far it was my favourite thing that I've ever done on radio.
I'm back on Virgin again.
Yeah, you're doing a weekend show.
Sunday mornings on Virgin. How weird is that? And I don't get to choose music. I did say, any chance I could choose some songs? They said, well, if you email them to us by Wednesday, we will. And I just I'll go and play. And actually, their songs are pretty neatly fall into. I would have less Coldplay, more Beatles. But apart from that, it falls pretty neatly in. Jeff is here. We're going to talk about your podcast. There is no shame in selling stuff at all.
I know, but I was saying just before we switched the microphones on, I hate spamming people. Yeah. So I'm on social media, I'm on Twitter like everybody is these days, and yeah, I'm there with my underwhelming amount of followers compared to many of my contemporaries, and what I feel that my Twitter account is a lot of the time is just a very tangible evidence of how my career hasn't quite gone like I would have liked it to.
Yeah.
But the people that do follow me, I'm spamming them saying, please listen to this podcast, and I just think they're going to turn on me.
I wonder how many people have muted me. Because I've done a lot of that kind of spam. My tweets either tend to be about the monkeys, about this show and the podcasts, or me saying I want to kill myself. Those are kind of the three.
But you would hope that the people that your natural constituency would expect nothing different from you.
But I do, you know, all of those three things they're quite niche.
But you could say it like that, but you could also say that you're a specialist in three areas.
Well, yeah.
you're carving out, you've got to find your audience. Isn't that what it's all about these days? It's finding your audience. And yes, that might be a limited amount of people who want to hear that.
Suicidal radio anoraks who like prefabricated 60s music. Those.
No one's selling to those guys apart from you.
Those are the guys we need. But me and Kath went to New York recently, a place I know
that
you
listened
love.
To a lot of it, yeah. Yeah.
Gosh, thank you. Love it there.
And we found it inspiring, didn't we?
Yeah, just the fact that people sell out there, and they don't even blink, you know.
Yeah, but I agree with you, and I've got no problem with it coming from Americans. But I wonder if, like, a British person would book a British person doing it. Because we've got that attitude, don't we? Who does he think he is getting better than himself?
Yeah.
Whereas you kind of expect Americans to be brash and self-promoting. And I'm married to a brash, self-promoting American.
Oh, really?
Actually, a self-hating American. So that's, I think that's why she was comfortable moving
but
here.
We were quite... When we listened to a lot of American podcasts, as we were going over there, because we were going to speak to them as guests, so things like Keith and the Girl, Beautiful Anonymous, the Irish woman.
Oh, Maeve in America.
America. Yeah, yeah. Maeve, I mean, she's Irish, but and those podcasts all are just full of, hey, thanks for downloading it. Before you listen, we've got T-shirts and hats that you can buy, and we think they're great. And if you like the podcast, rate it.
But you know what? Scroobius Pip does that as well.
Yeah.
But does it with so much charm that you barely notice.
Yes.
Yeah, but I just think Pip has got, he's probably more, he probably likes himself more than either Ian or myself, I imagine. Yeah.
Mate, okay, here's what we do. You come and sell my stuff.
Yes, yes.
I'll sell your stuff.
Yeah.
Everyone walks away happy.
Yeah, that's the way to do it, yeah.
We've got a call. I'm going to hit the brakes tonight because I was terrible with the brakes. We've got a call. It's sorted out.
I was going to make him a brew because I haven't even offered and he's...
Oh, I'd love one, yes,
what
please.
What would you like?
Is this not a bit below your pay grade, running around making cups of tea for
it's
me,
all right.
Kath?
I like a walk now and again.
She just likes to get out of the studio and away from me.
I brought awful treat. I was going to bake... and then I couldn't be bothered. And then I put on Twitter, what should I take for Ian and Kath? And Ian said, don't bring anything fattening. So I brought lots of these look disgusting, healthy treats.
Popcorns.
There is gluten, lactose and gelatin-free peach gummy things.
Yummy.
Thank you.
Horrible looking naked treat bars.
Well, you've really gone to the
disgusting
health food section of the store.
Yeah, because I know that you're like me. I mean, so I'm guessing that the reason you've regrown your beard is because you worry about putting on weight and hide the shape of your face.
Yeah, I've got chins.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I had a beard for the best part of 20 years for exactly the same reason. I mean, I'm fooling no one, but you know, you feel like you've got some control in the situation.
I would, for most of my life, have been skinny, right? And a lot of it was just because that was my. Big period of my life, it's because that was the way I worked, my metabolism. I was skinny. There was a small period of my life where it was because I was just doing loads of drugs, and so that made me skinny.
Yeah.
And then I hit 40, and just suddenly there is a stomach.
So I never think you look big, but I also you're such a tall man. I'd have thought it was impossible to put on weight.
Tall people can be fat. Tall people can be fat. Here we go. Here's the phone in. I knew we'd get there eventually. Can you phone in and name a famous fat tall person?
Jeremy Clarkson's got a bit of a paunch going on.
I'll give you that. 03444991000. Ras, stay there. We'll come to you after this.
The Wild Man of Late Night Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
We can say this on air. I was just telling Jeff, Clive Dickens, who was the boss of Absolute, and a gentleman who, you know, I would hate to be the boss of a station because you have to let people go.
You have to
let people go, and I did. When it happened, I was so upset, but I shook his hand and I thanked him and I said, I've had a great time and I really appreciate the opportunity. And I walked out. And I phoned up Eloise, my producer at the time. We both sobbed down the phone. It was terrible. But my two main encounters with Clive as the boss, when he took over, he called me into his office one day. I said, Ian, first ever meeting with the new boss. I don't understand your show. Could you explain it to me? That's a tough one.
I mean, that's nightmarish. I hate it if I'm ever at a wedding reception or anything to say, oh, so what kind of show do you do? I mean, now I can say, I don't really.
I'm a man of leisure.
Yeah.
But he kept me on for another 3 years. I've got great respect for him because, he knows what he's doing.
I just think he was a bit of a visionary in his way. Yeah,
but he didn't have the backing to kind of push it. And then the thing I think that did it in for me was I was off to interview Bruce Willis for a terrible film he made called Red. But I was very excited because I'd meet Bruce Willis. By coincidence...
Were you a fan of his music back in the day?
Oh, Bruno, of course. Yeah, his version of Under the Boardwalk. It's the only version, as far as I'm concerned. Return of Bruno. I just got back from a holiday, and British Gas, before I'd gone to holiday, had fixed, in inverted commas, my boiler. I came back, and it had leaked flat below. So I was on Twitter, angrily saying British Gas are awful, they've ruined my boiler, I'm on the phone to them, what should I say to them, I'm going to say yippee-ki-yay, mother, Bruce Willis. Yeah. And I got a phone call from Clive saying, Ian, can I have a word? Yeah. Why are you slagging off one of the biggest sponsors of the station? I said, I don't know what you mean. He said, well, who sponsors the breakfast show? I said, Clive, to be honest, I don't know. I don't listen.
You're doing a late night show.
I'm asleep. Yeah. He said, it's British Gas. They are furious with you. We're taking you off air for 2 weeks.
Was it paid?
It was unpaid.
Oh, God.
It was unpaid.
Because when Lady Diana died, I got taken off air for 2 weeks, paid. It was great.
But not because you said anything, though.
No, because they were worried I might, even though I wouldn't have done. Wouldn't have done. But
I'm just reminded of... what was it? It just reminded me of something there. There was another thing I got in trouble for. I got in trouble so much there. I'm surprised I lasted that long. Hang on. So, British Gas. I libelled someone.
Aha.
I libelled someone.
Why don't you repeat it?
It wasn't a bad libel, but someone called in and I thought they were someone else and I called them a racist. I said, you're a racist. Mm. And, I got called in and they threatened to sue. They were going to sue and a lawyer had been called in and stuff. And, Clive said, this will cost us about 10 grand. Okay. We won't fight it. We'll have to pay him some money and we'll have to pay his legal fees. Cost about 10 grand. Mm. Now, I want you to contribute towards that 10 grand. I said, okay. He said, but I'm not going to tell you how much to pay. I want you to decide.
Oh.
That's bad, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it feels like touchy-feely management, but you expect radio stations to have your back in that situation. Yeah.
And we just bought a new house, and we were just having our first baby.
Right? Yeah.
So it was a tough time. So I went home, and I thought, oh, geez. I kind of did some maths, and I thought, oh, and I phoned him up and I said, okay, Clive, I've done the maths and I would feel comfortable giving you a week's worth of my wages.
Right.
And he said, oh, I was expecting a little bit more, but we'll accept that and we'll move on and say no more of it. Oh, no!
I think that's I think that was incredibly generous of you.
I do as well! As I was earning £20,000 a week. we've got Ras on the line. Good evening, Ras.
Hello there, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Ras. Would you like to speak to Jeff, or have you just phoned in for a chat?
I've just phoned in to say, I used to listen to both of you on Absolute Radio, and you're both absolute legends.
I wondered where that was going to go there. For
me
a second,
too.
That sentence could have
gone. I thought he was going to get a bit five-star on Saturday morning TV.
You're both absolute legends. And I'm sorry, Jeff, but Ian Lee was slightly my favourite.
Well, I understand that. Mine too.
I felt that in the Venn diagram of radio, we certainly overlapped. We had a bit that overlapped in terms of our audience, but also I think we had separate circles as well.
Yeah, I think so.
Venn diagrams work.
Yes, I was one of Ian Lee's nutters many years ago with Vinny and Alex. Oh, sorry, Barry from Watford. The
now,
crew.
Ras, listen. This is the question. Have you listened? Yes. Do you listen to podcasts?
I do indeed.
Which podcasts do you favour?
Really? You're really asking me that question?
Yeah, go on, tell us, because I find the whole world... Thank you, Kath. I find the whole world of podcasts so overwhelming. There's so many of them. It's like going into a record shop going, oh, I want to buy something. Oh, there's too much, and I leave. And so I only recently, in the last couple of years, started listening to podcasts. There's a sea of them. So go on, Ras, tell us what you dig, man.
I can't. It's a different radio station.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You can say what you want.
Okay. I love the Radio 2 Confessions podcast.
Oh, the Simon Mayo thing.
Yeah, I bet that's a great podcast. Yeah. I bet that's a great podcast.
But I've got a confession to make to...
You're on the wrong show, dude. All right, so Mr. Lee, go on, this is talking to you, Jeff.
Yes.
No, I'm talking to Mr. Lee.
Oh, okay. Oh.
I've got a confession to you. I have been a few different characters on your show.
Gosh. You're not termed Stephen Murdoch, are you?
No.
Oh, okay.
I've been Dave the Transvestite. I've been Johnny Riggs a few times. I was also... I've forgotten her bloody name now, the crazy woman I used to do. But yes, I had a great time on your show, and you've been an absolute legend, and why they sacked you, I don't know.
You're speaking as though I'm dying.
Yeah,
or something.
He's still here. Still on it. Things are going well for him now.
You totally upset me when you came off the radio, on Absolute Radio, doing that show. That was the best show.
But he's doing an even better show now. Like, this is his purest, I think, this show, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Oh, sorry, Jeff, I'm sorry. I was forgetting you, and I'm afraid.
No, don't worry, I mean, I'm quite comfortable.
Russ, have you had a few bevvies tonight, mate?
Yes, I have. I'm just about ready for bed.
There we go. I think you should go to bed now, sir, for crying out loud. Yeah. Do you listen to podcasts? I mean, what do you listen to? Do you get what I mean? There are so many.
Yeah, I do. I got to a point, actually, where I wasn't listening to a lot of anything.
Yep.
I'd have the Today programme on in the mornings just to try and behave like a grown-up, and I think grown-ups listen to Radio 4 News.
Yes.
And I'd just end up getting frustrated by the news and people kind of being put in a bag to fight with each other, which is how that programme operates. So, like, This American Life, I think, is a really good podcast from American Public Radio, which is stories from over there. I'm trying to think what else...
Adam Buxton's Scroobius's.
Yeah, Scroobius. I think Scroobius Pip's long form interviews are some of the best long form interviews I've heard. I prefer. There's this American guy, Mark Maron, who does a lot of this stuff.
And I'm not listening to Mark Maron. Everyone says I should listen to it. And
So here's the thing. He gets some great guests, and I'll be absolutely honest. You want to be absolutely honest? He came on the radio show, and I felt like he was a little bit off with me,
and it's
completely coloured my judgment of him.
I know that, but things like that do.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That stuff's important.
So I think he's probably this amazing interviewer, but he came in, and I found him to be quite superior. Like his whole attitude, I felt, was a bit. This isn't a conversation of equals, so don't try and treat it like one.
Was he really?
That's how I took it.
Was
to
he
be,
doing that?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, Howard Stern, the American... I think his interviews that he does these days, do you ever hear of them?
No, I don't. Is he good? Because I just hate... I know he doesn't do that act now, but the whole lesbians having sex...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's of a different time.
Yeah.
He does these incredible, like, one-and-a-half-hour interviews with very famous people.
Yeah.
And he's not sycophantic at all. His research is phenomenally deep. And because he is this status, I mean, he's this huge name in the States, and I think he's actually the highest-paid entertainer in the world, they treat him as a peer or an equal, so he can ask things, and anybody can ask things, but he can ask things and get answers that you or I or anybody else never would. And the interviews are so candid, and he's so smart. And the thing about him is, I think he ruined American radio.
Go on, why?
So I think he's really clever and self-deprecating, and I think even the stuff you're talking about was very sexual. It was always done from this kind of position of self-loathing.
Mm.
But what it did was spawned a generation of imitators, and I think American radio is full of just, like, men who sound horrible and predatory and sexual.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Whereas British radio isn't full of men that sound predatory and sexual, but actually they are.
But below the surface they are. Yeah, you're right. Isn't
Without mentioning any names, you've worked with some of them, Catherine, unfortunately.
Can you draw them for me?
You can.
Yeah, I could.
You've got a bit of paper there. I had some
Periscope. Twitter can't see.
Make sure
Periscope
it's not on the...
Don't show Periscope. You can draw in perfectly. Oh, that's... that's my notes. Do it on there. Draw it on there. Perfect. There we go.
All right, okay.
They can't see. No. You're covered. This is going to be great to see if you can guess from her drawing.
But yeah, I love Adam Buxton's cast drawing. Adam Buxton's podcast, great.
What's nice about Adam and Pip's shows is that they're just nice blokes, and that comes across, that they're genuinely enthusiastic about the people they're talking
to. It's a funny thing, isn't it? Audio, in as much as they say that it's the most honest medium.
Yeah.
And I think there've been certain studies done which say that people found just they find it very easy to spot a lie when it's just the voice.
Yeah.
And I think to some extent radio or audio shows you up for who you are. On the other hand, and I'm sure Kath Storing will back this up, I can think of some people who on the air sound like the nicest, most energetic, generous...
Let me...
You guys are supposed to write the catchphrase in.
Also, I don't...
Because otherwise it would have looked a lot like you, that's
I would have... I don't think you spelt the catchphrase right. We'll talk about this off air.
Yeah. He was very close up. It's hard to hear him enunciate.
You've just given a huge clue there, but I'm going to move on so that we...
But just that... So it, on one hand, it's this very honest medium. And then there are people who just sound like the loveliest people on the air. And they are monsters.
Oh,
like,
Christian O'Connell's a bastard.
No. but there are people who are like screaming in people's faces, having these terrible tantrums, bullying.
I was a shouter. I was a shouter a long time ago, born out of, fear, booze and drugs for a bit of it, and then when they went, born out of fear. So my early days in LBC, we mentioned David Lloyd, who's my boss there, and I owe everything to him. I was a shouter, for a couple of years.
And where was that coming from? Well, it's coming from a position
fear.
That, yeah, because you want it to be right and you're scared that if it isn't, you're humiliating yourself in some way.
And scared that I just wasn't good enough and that I'd get found out. So I was trying to control things, but I just was terrified someone was going to do that tap on the shoulder. I'm sorry, we gave this job to the wrong person. You're not welcome.
Yeah. But I suppose the screaming, it's thinking if people are so scared to make a mistake, they won't make a mistake.
Yeah.
When there are other ways of motivating people. As it turns out.
Were you ever a shouter?
Maybe a little bit towards the end of my drinking days.
Yeah.
Like, so I'd moved to Virgin and it was sort of this wild time. Chris Evans owned the radio station and it was like this very hedonistic, strange place. It was the millennium. I'm blaming the millennium for a lot of it. And I think maybe...
this was the millennium bug
in action. It was in me. I think maybe I got a little bit carried away towards the end of my drinking days. But no, I prefer being passive aggressive, to be honest. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you read the William Shatner story, Catherine?
No.
I retweeted because I was watching you on Periscope and I caught the tail end of Jeff's William Shatner story.
Oh, right.
And have you never had any dealings with Shatner, have you?
He said he would be interviewed by us. That's it.
Did he?
Yeah.
For this show?
No. Yeah. I wrote to his people, or is it him? Probably his people now, and they said he's not been interviewed about anything at this time.
Yeah, because he's a miserable git. And one of the people, one of the newsreaders on Sky, whose name escapes me, told me a story about how she mistakenly said he was American when, of course, he's Canadian, and he went nuts. And then he went on Twitter and went nuts about it as well. And I was reading your run-in with Shatner. That happened last year. And,
So I found out in March of this year, I think it was, that William Shatner had blocked me on Twitter. Yeah. And I had no idea why. So I really like that music he did with Ben Folds.
Yeah, it's great.
And I don't know if you ever saw Boston Legal.
I missed
which,
Boston
on
Legal.
On the surface looks like this cheesy American law show.
Yeah.
But it's him and, what's his name? James Spader.
Okay.
And I think... for Shatner, it's the role of a lifetime. He plays this kind of bloated lawyer who was great in his day, but is losing his faculties a bit. He's very right-wing, whereas James Spader's very left-wing.
Yeah.
So it was during the Bush years. I guess it was a little bit of liberal porn for people in the way that the West Wing was.
Yeah.
Anyway, so broadly speaking, I'm a Shatner fan. I'm in on my own one night earlier in the year, and I think, I wonder what William Shatner's been up to. He's been quiet on Twitter recently. And I go to look and I say, you cannot view William Shatner's tweets.
Blocked by the Shatner.
So I sort of tweet, I say, I don't understand, I've been blocked by William Shatner. The next day, a listener of mine tweets William Shatner to say, why have you blocked Jeff Lloyd? And he says, check out 31st of August last year. So he's got a record for everybody who's ever wronged him.
Grievances.
Yes. So my co-host, Annabelle, was crowdfunding a book at the time, and for a joke, because I knew this would never get a response, and I thought it was a funny joke, I tweeted William Shatner saying, hi William, will you endorse my friend Annabelle's crowdfunded book? If I don't hear back in 5 minutes, I'll take it as a yes. And then sort of 5 minutes later did a tweet saying, great news everybody, William Shatner's endorsed the book. It's obvious he hasn't, it's a joke, it's an obvious joke.
Yeah.
So anyway, it turns out that's what he's aggrieved about. So I
It gets better.
So then I write a grovelling apology in the notes on my phone, and it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but and say, well, one of my listeners send it to him. So one of my listeners does, and he's really angry. He says, this is a verified account. It's not a joke. He could have used an emoji if he thought it was a joke. And then all these people started interceding on my behalf. Richard Osman from Pointless, Emma Kennedy, the writer, and then Owen Jones, the left-wing firebrand journalist, comes in like he's a UN peacemaker or something and tries to make peace. Shatner is having none of it. He's getting angry. He's blocking people for just mentioning my name. What? And this goes on. I then handwrite a grovelling apology, and he's having none of it. And he said, I suppose your mates at The Guardian will be writing that old man Shatner can't take a joke tomorrow. And it's just... I'm just baffled that I've enraged William Shatner with a dumb joke. So the next day I go on air and I tell the story. Mm. And all I'm doing is telling the story of something that happened to me in a public arena. It happened to me on Twitter. So, you know, there's no breach of privacy going on here. By the end of the show, I have had a panicky email from middle management saying, Shatner's lawyers have been on. Please don't mention it on the air anymore.
Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible?
So I'm annoyed at the radio station because... You know, like, I've done nothing wrong, and there's no kind of breach, and there's no kind of legal problem. Yeah. And if anything, they could probably make a bit of capital out of this.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, and I just
poking
feel...
Poking the old bear, definitely.
Yeah, and I just feel they're being spineless. But at this stage, I've announced I'm leaving. I've got weeks to go, and I just can't be bothered getting into it with them. So next day, people are asking me about it on Twitter. I'm tweeting about it. I get a panicky call again from the radio station saying, can you stop tweeting about it? I said,
no.
But I say, no, I can't. No, I mean, I'm happy not to talk about it on the air because it's your radio station, but it's my Twitter account. I mean, I haven't done anything wrong. There's no grounds for an actual legal complaint. So they have his people calling up. They say they're going to go to the press and say that I'm bullying an 86-year-old man.
What?
Yeah.
You're bullying TJ Hooker?
Yeah,
not possible.
Yeah. There are legal threats. He arranges some kind of conference call with Twitter in California to try and get me blocked for bullying. I mean, it's insane. And then by the end of the day, William Shatner is tweeting, asking people what the name of the body that governs broadcasting in the UK is.
He's going to make an Ofcom
on
you.
He makes an Ofcom complaint on me.
Gosh. Flipping it.
Oh. Which, of course, gets thrown out because I've not done anything that can be construed.
Beautiful.
Yes, a William Shatner complaint too. And I would have liked it, actually, if, you know, with weeks to go after this 18 years in this one radio station, if with weeks to go I'd have been fired because William Shatner got me fired, that would have been a way to go out.
Well, listen, that's your side of the story. We're going to go to Los Angeles now. Bills! if only. We've got to talk about the podcast. We're going to play some adverts. We'll come back and we're going to talk adrift. Okay. And we're going to get you three or four downloads out of this show. I guarantee it.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Excellent timing there, Jeff, swearing just... ever the professional, swearing
there
just before
red,
the red light's
no
on.
Red light on. No. I can hear the jingle.
He knows.
Let's talk about the podcast with Annabelle, who I worked with years ago, of course. She produced...
The Lost thing.
Lost podcast. I think she was producing it... It was the Lost Initiative, and she was producing, I think, when it was a podcast. Maybe she was producing it when it was a TV, when it was like a little sort of online video show as well. Mm. And I've always thought that she is brilliant. I've always thought that she is very, very funny, and she's very, very clever. She was your producer.
Yeah, not quite. So she came in on work experience years ago when I was doing Pete and Jeff show. And then when we finished the breakfast show, I just we built her up more and more on the air. You like David Letterman, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
Have you read
the book about him that's out recently?
No.
Oh, I'll send you my copy. It's brilliant.
Have you seen the interview you recently did with Norm Macdonald?
No.
Norm Macdonald's doing a video podcast where, again, it's another long form interview because everybody's doing those now, it's so good. David Letterman. So this is going back to whenever the Winter Olympics would, I'm getting like 2001, 2002. He used on his show, there was a girl who worked on the show who was very deadpan called Stephanie, who was the one he ended up having the affair with and being blackmailed over.
There we go.
And I loved the note that he was getting out of her with that. And I thought, I bet Annabelle could do something like that. So we just started using her more and more on the air. And then by the time I'd sort of finished doing the breakfast show and I moved to do the late night, I just thought she was great and said, OK, I want to use Annabelle on the air. So in title, she never wanted to produce because she didn't like the responsibility. So we had a producer.
You turned that down when I wanted you to produce
about five times.
Yeah, right,
want to. So she liked... She liked being an assistant producer, but not having the, you know, not the book stopping with her. So we always had producers. And she was on the air more, and she just get her to write stuff, and she'd be so funny.
Yeah.
And I'd have friends who were comedians over the years who would hear her stuff and say, she doesn't understand that you're asking too much of her. So basically, you're asking her to write fresh, like a densely written batch of jokes every day.
Yeah.
Like nobody would be able to do that. But because she doesn't know any different,
she does it.
She can do it. Yeah. And I think she's one of these people. I love her. And I think if she had 1% the amount of ambition that she has talent, I mean, she'd be huge.
Take over the world.
Yeah, but I mean, she is unambitious in the best possible way. Yeah.
And so you're doing so now you've left Absolute. You're now doing the podcast Adrift, which I've heard episode one of, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you.
It's very entertaining. It's a bit slicker than our podcasts.
What?
It's a bit slicker than
how
the rabbit. Well, because
I think the rabbit hole sounds slick, especially like I think often we should talk about this off the air because it's really boring. But I think you get a good sound given it's live in front of an audience. Oh, like I think it sounds really well.
Thanks
together.
Very much. That was mixed by an expert.
Yeah, but I was the recording engineer at the time.
Yeah, but you don't know how much stuff I have to do to it to get this out.
Tell us the thinking behind Adrift, Jeff.
So the thinking was, I mean, honestly, in that Annabelle and I had done this radio show together. I think we were on the air for 12, 13 years, just the two of us. And there were a number of people who downloaded that show as a podcast every day, like people do your show.
Mm.
And I've got it in my head. I want to do a few different things. But I also think I'm grateful to those people for listening to it.
Yeah.
So I'd like to do something for them as well. Mm-hmm. I don't have the time to do it every day. So I thought I'd like to do a podcast with Annabelle. But I'd also like to try and do something whereby if there's somebody who's never heard me before, if they heard it doesn't sound unintelligible or, you know. And it's difficult because, again, like this show, the best radio, I think, feels like a club.
Mm.
And often if radio feels like that, the first two or three times you listen to it, it's sort of in jokes and you don't quite get it and you feel like, oh, this is
and that can
awful.
Scare a lot of people away.
But it can also sort of get into the back of your mind.
Yeah.
And I know I grew up listening to a guy, and I know you're a fan of his, James H. Reeve, Piccadilly Radio in Manchester.
We had him on the show recently.
You did?
Yeah, we had him on the show recently.
He's the best.
He's a village councillor now, isn't he, somewhere?
Is he?
He's parish council.
Right,
still miserable, but he was lovely. He was lovely.
He was so good, and you know, it was when so much talk radio.
Yeah.
And again, this applies to this show, is people shouting either string them up or send them back.
Yeah, yeah.
To have somebody like James who was so clever and erudite and sort of liberal in his views up to a point and funny, and it didn't sounded slow and it didn't sound angry. I just loved it. And Frank Sidebottom used to be on there doing Radio Timperley. And I always loved that late night feel of it being like a club. And I remember listening to that for the first few times and thinking, oh, I don't quite get this. Is this a bit slow? But wanting to. And then feeling like you're in this, I was in a satellite town of Manchester, Macclesfield, and just feeling like there's all these other people dotted around the city writing in these funny letters or phoning in and being funny or just sharing the sensibility. So I want to try and do that with the podcast. And I'm sort of torn. You emailed me earlier and I was saying that to me, the problem with it is, this is good that I'm really selling it by saying here's the problem with it is, what I don't think the world needs is just a podcast with two more people shooting the breeze. Because anyone thinks they can do that.
Yeah.
And most people can't. You know, Terry Wogan could do it. I think Danny Baker can do it. But I don't think most people could just open their mouths and see what, you know, it's like this show. You put thought into it and then make it sound like you put no thought into it.
Huh? Don't pull away the curtain, Jeff, for goodness sakes. Don't tell them all the secrets.
So I thought, what is the thing in terms of everything we've done over the years? What is the thing that's the common thread? And it's just like we're both socially incompetent, neurotic people. So it's very loosely speaking, it's a podcast for the socially awkward.
Yeah.
And it's full of stories about not quite fitting in or not quite getting your interactions right and then obsessing about them afterwards, like you said at the top of the show.
There. Yeah.
That's very loosely what it is.
But with guests and a little bit of music in there?
A little bit. So the first episode's got some music in from Rebecca Taylor, who's one half of the band Slow Club.
Mm.
And I tell a story about Rebecca, and she's got a new single, which is great. So I said, can I use a bit of that? So I play a bit. But it's not a music podcast as such. And in terms of guests, what I'm doing is one of the... I'll pick a thing that's happened to me in the week that I'm sort of being neurotic about and try and talk it out with a few people.
Yeah.
So on that first episode, there's a Swedish psychiatrist and it's to do with...
Because you're buying Ryland's autobiography. Also,
yes, yeah, and then worrying about what the people in the bookshop think of me. So then I talked to Josie Long, who does the Book Shambles podcast with Robin, and she's a comedian. And
she's another person who is... Have you heard her show on Radio 4, Shortcuts? Is it called Shortcuts?
I haven't. I've seen the thing for it.
It is the best thing on. It's the best thing on radio. It's like about three or four stories being told by things that have actually happened to people. But it's slightly trippy in the way it's all mixed together.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
She's got a big heart on her, Josie. I think she's like a real brain, but I think there's real humanity to everything that she does. Which I know that sounds pretentious. I don't know if people are thinking, oh, I'd like to go and see a comedian who has a real humanity to everything. But she's very funny, that's the main thing.
She's good. She keeps saying she's going to come on this show, but she...
And then not answering your calls.
I wonder what that's all about. But the thing I really liked in episode one was the... going swimming, the fancy dress.
Oh God, yeah,
swimming. So, how old is your?
I have a 16-month-old son called Eugene.
Wow.
Before he was born, we were bought swimming lessons as a present.
I've done the baby swimming lessons, and it's
ridiculous. There's no swimming involved.
It's that, isn't it?
You're bouncing them up and down in the water, and basically training them from a young age to hold their breath.
Yeah,
that's kind of what you're doing, but. I've had it before now, where I've... 'cause you do lots of singing. You do splish, splash, splish, splash,
yeah.
Around in a circle and up in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all these different songs. And
did you do it with your girls?
Yeah, I did. I took my eldest, but she...
When they were babies?
Yeah, but she hated it. She used to scream and
there's often one. There's often one in the class.
Yeah.
So generally, there's about 8 parents and 8 babies. But I've been there some weeks where it's been sparsely attended. And one week, it was just me and the teacher and the baby. That would be weird if the baby wasn't there. And there's something strange, just you and a teacher singing.
Yeah. Did you have to do the singing as well?
Yeah, because that's the lesson.
The class,
that is the class. So anyway, what Ian's talking about, they do an annual charity day for the, a fertility and miscarriage charity called Tommy's. And she says, okay, next week it's the Splashathon. It's a big event. We do it every year. Peppa Pig's going to be here. And
the official Peppa Pig.
and everybody dresses up and you're going to sponsor your kid to do a with. I mean, being pushed along with, but and the themes for the fancy dress are superheroes. They are princes and princesses, and the other one is Peppa Pig.
Yeah,
and I think everyone's going to do superheroes.
Yeah.
And princes and princesses. At first, I suggest to my wife that we go. That my son goes as Prince Edward, I go as Prince Andrew, and she goes as Princess Anne. But she's having none of it. But she is a fan of the film The Princess Bride, so she says, "Why don't we go as that?"
Yeah.
So I decide to go as the Princess Buttercup. She decides to go as her male suitor, Wesley, and we dress the baby up as... You remember Andre the Giant?
Yeah, of course.
He's in that film playing Fezzik. So we dress the baby up as Fezzik. And, long story...
No, we've got time. Okay,
right. So we go into the changing rooms and we're a little bit late, but we're fairly confident that we've made a good effort here with the costumes, because I'm wearing a blonde wig and a swimming costume and a tiara.
Really,
and the baby's... My wife has made the baby a wig out of a hat and then glued some bubbles to it to give the appearance of curly hair. And then she's wearing like a sort of like Scarlet Pimpernel style face mask, and she's drawn a moustache on. And we're a bit late, so we get there and people have already gone into the swimming pool. So we check. I'm in the gents' changing room. They're in the ladies'. We burst out at the same time. And it's firstly, it's sparsely attended. so there are only two other parents there, two other babies, two other parents. Neither of the two other parents have made the effort with a fancy dress. They've just come in normal clothes.
Oh, God.
The teacher has been off sick, so they've got another teacher in substituting who isn't in fancy dress.
Oh, God.
And, like, the other... But one of the other two babies is in fancy dress. It's got it's only got a tiara on. And in that situation... So if you think about what that is... Like, we've done the right thing. We've made the effort. Yeah, you know, we have attempted to get into the spirit of it and join in with the fun. And it's the other ones who really should be ashamed of themselves. But I just feel a deep sense of shame. No, it's a shame. I just feel ashamed of myself and my family. I think we're ridiculous people. And we just look ridiculous and we're worthy of contempt is how I feel. Standing there.
Oh, God. It's that's episode
one. But did he
one.
Do his width? Is the important
he,
thing?
He did do his width, well, yeah. He raised £230. And I didn't go public with it. This was just from friends and relations.
Who wanted to see you dressed up like
tell,
that?
Tell them, unfortunately, there's plenty more of those sponsored things coming up with kids don't. We have a sponsored skip at our school,
what?
Right? But
they put things in a skip for money.
No, with the rope. And my boy can't skip, and you've still got to pay him £20.
Well, at least they're skipping. Mine just jump up and down.
So it used to be the case that... When we would do sponsored things as kids, if you would get sponsored per length,
yeah.
So there was some incentive to be successful at it.
Yeah.
That seems to have gone. It's just flat rate.
You chuck up a tenner.
Rock up, you get the money.
Yeah.
The podcast is called Adrift.
Yes, and it's you know the thinking behind that title was we needed a title, and I didn't quite know what the podcast was going to be at that stage.
I love the picture of you two on it. It's beautiful.
It looks a bit like a Nordic noir sort of detective show,
both
doesn't
very
it?
Very blank, staring at 1,000-yard stare.
But it's that feeling of, like, we all, you know, like when you feel a bit adrift in life and you feel like you're pretending to know what you're doing, but you don't really, and everyone else seems to be a grown-up, but you're not.
I think a lot of the listeners to this show will get... I was listening to it going, well, that's me, that's Cass, that's... Honestly, I loved it, so I loved it. Every week, is it going to be?
Yes, every Wednesday.
And iTunes, I know some people don't like iTunes, but... I guess it's
the
on
rage.
Every
the rage that people
isn't
have.
There?
Yeah.
I was so
surprised. You say that you use an Apple product, which I do, not because I'm flash for my money, but because I'm computer illiterate and I want something that will never get a virus. That's why I use an Apple.
Well,
product.
I think that don't think that that holds true anymore.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, 10 years ago it did.
Okay,
but
well that's
it's...
why I started. Well, now I just don't want to have to learn a new thing. I don't want to have to learn how something new works. But people will go, Crapple, why do you use that? You're a baby.
Yeah.
You're just sheeple using Apple.
Yeah.
People are so angry about it.
I've had people say, I'm not going to listen to your podcast on if it's on iTunes. Well, it's on everything else as well.
Yeah. But why is it like that with Apple? People don't get angry at me because I have a Miele washing machine. Why is it that?
Because they don't know.
Right, yeah.
Jeff, it's always a pleasure. I hope this has not been... Let's say now,
yes.
I am very happy with the way you performed.
I think this has been a very successful social interaction, at least. I don't know, you know, I worry about how entertaining it would have been for anyone listening.
There we go.
But in terms of a social interaction, and in terms of us becoming friends, like, I feel that if we'd met at a different time, it could have happened. But in what situation are you socialising with somebody, Ian?
It's never going to happen, Jeff.
Like, I would go for a cup of tea with you, but who's going to instigate it?
We don't even have each other's phone numbers.
I have yours.
Oh, this is awkward.
Jeff Lloyd, it's been a pleasure.
He's only just started following him on Twitter.
Yeah, I know. The podcast is adrift. It's
I would
Jeff
feel
Lloyd
very hurt, but that would hurt. I'd regularly check to see if Ian was following me on Twitter, and he wasn't.
Listen, this is
and
what...
I would find it
you're,
quite
you're
hurt,
being followed
hurtful.
Now, and now you've made me late for the ads.
Oh, sorry, ads.
Unbelievable.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
There's a message from the Haters Club. Dedicated to the one I love. I've been cursed by your wicked kiss. Once felt it's forever missed. Forever missed. I'm a member of the Haters Club. And I'm hating every minute of me without you, you without me. Give me some. Give me some of that misery. That misery. I'm a high.
twisted state of bliss, indulging in such hatefulness. I just need a prequel.
The vibe is strong this evening, dear listener. The vibe is strong. Lovely to talk to Jeff Lloyd. Had another really good geeky radio chat today with Jeremy Vine. Jeremy Vine! You'll hear that tomorrow night, 11 o'clock. Right, and here's the thing. I get guests on that I really like. And Jeremy Vine, by coincidence, has a book out. And I've been wanting for ages to get him on the show. And I didn't have an angle. Then I saw he had a book out. I thought, right, we'll try. And trust me, it's a really good interview. Because so many times I've had emails from people saying, well, I didn't think I'd be interested in that chat you had with dot, dot, dot. But I listened to it and I really enjoyed it. We had loads of them about the John Lydon, Johnny Rotten interview. I didn't think I'd be interested in you talking to Johnny Rotten. But at the end, I came away with it, really enjoying it and thinking he was a good bloke. I think you're going to get the same with Jeremy Vine. Right, first of all, his book is great. I've not read all of it. I've only read the first few chapters because I didn't get it till last night. But it's great. Secondly, he does an incredible Elvis Costello impression in the middle of it. And thirdly, I don't think I got... Catherine sent me the clip, but he says something... Let me just check my email. He says something... no, she's not. I'll get her to email me something. He says something very funny. We'll play that tomorrow, and I think you're going to enjoy it. I really, really do think you're going to enjoy it. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. This is the Late Night Alternative. My name is Ian Lee. You're listening to Talk Radio. Catherine, please resume your usual position. I've got exciting news, by the way. Oh, can you send me that clip of Jeremy Vine, please?
Oh, didn't I send it?
I don't seem to have it.
That's outrageous.
So that would be handy if you could, because I want to play it. But we there's a new episode of the podcast. Has got the rabbit hole has gone out already, hasn't it?
Yes.
It's gone out tonight. And on it, we kind of randomly phone some people who have subscribed to the podcast. And one of those people, I think it was Neil.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Talks to us about this website, Fiverr, which I was kind of aware of. I think I'd have a look at it before. Fiverr.com. And basically, people go on there and sell themselves. And it can be all kinds of things. It can be online guitar lessons. It can be people recording phone messages. It can be experiences. All kinds of things.
Yeah, it's like Etsy. You know, on Etsy you can buy hair clips that someone's made, clothes. It tends to be arts and crafts type
stuff.
By
the way, have a bite of that. That's the thing that Jeff bought us. That shows how much he likes
this. What is this?
This is a naked cashew cookie bar.
Oh. Or as I like to call it, a rabbit dropping. But, I mean,
I'm eating it because I'm hungry, but...
I...
Anyway, right?
Anyway, so it's like Etsy, but...
Yeah.
You get geeky stuff on there, like people doing computer programs for you. And...
Yeah. And here's the thing. We have paid...
Oh, that really is dry, isn't it?
We've paid £4 to get two young Bangladeshi boys...
Mm-hmm.
To strip down to their pants.
No, a sarong.
A sarong. And write on their chest the rabbit hole show and dance for a minute. For £4. Now, here's the other thing, Kath. By mistake, I clicked on it twice, so I'd paid for two. So I've also got them to do one for this show as well.
Oh,
Ian
awesome.
Lee on Talk Radio. And they're going to film it. We'll get a minute-long video of these two Bangladeshi kids. And they honestly... I'll tell you what I'll do. If you follow me on Twitter, the next break, I'll find their ad and I'll tweet it, because it is money very, very well spent.
I mean, now you say it, it sounds a little bit exploitative, but
if they're happy, loving it. They're happy to do it.
Yeah. It's their business.
They're happy to do it. And here's the thing. For a laugh, me and Kath thought, well, hang on, there's money.
We thought about painting ourselves.
In them our heels. But we did. But then we thought, no, what skills do we have? And so we went on. We put an ad on there.
Yeah.
And for $35, we'll record a 5-minute podcast for you, MP3. It'd be 5 minutes minimum. For $140, you can have an hour. We've got our first order.
No, we haven't.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've just had an email. Great news. You've received an order from a bloke called Chris Abbott.
All right, Chris.
Could you talk about... This is great. We'll talk about anything, right? We won't be knowledgeable, but we'll talk about anything, but apart from race, hate, and nothing hateful, right? This is lovely. Could you talk about how good Commodore 64 8-bit music was, with particular reference to Rob Hubbard, the famous C64 composer? If you could mention that there's a Kickstarter, projecthubbard.com, and there are plans to do an orchestral concert with London Symphony Orchestra.
Oh.
Beautiful. We're in. How long does he want? 5 minutes. $35.
Easy peasy.
5 minutes. Yeah, but mate, I tell you what, this is the first one. You're going to get 10 minutes. Absolute pleasure, buddy. Absolute pleasure. Catherine, we are going to be, this time next year, we're going to be millionaires. It's going to happen. We are selling our podcasting skills.
Isn't that funny?
We will create podcasts for people. Of course, we didn't say this before, but 70-30 split in my favour.
What?
Well... Because I am the name, I am the brand.
Something.
Yes, indeed. So we're doing that. But this website is amazing. You can buy... There are people who will... You can get them to, like, do pranks on themselves. And, well, there's one woman. For $10, she'd film herself swimming underwater.
Yeah, but I was quite excited by that. I thought, underwater cameras, that sometimes can look amazing. No, it's someone standing on the side of the pool while she goes in.
I mean, fair play, she's in a bikini. She's obviously a very attractive young lady. But it's not overtly sexual. I mean, it's not like a, you know, skimpy... It's a bikini, normal bikini. And she's swimming. She climbs into the water... You see her swimming through the water underneath it, of course, and then coming out the other right, and that's it. And you can pay for that. And I think if people are prepared to pay for that, bloody good luck to them. Really, really good luck. I think it's absolutely awesome. Let me find the Funny Buddies. That's it. Funny Buddies are the are the lads. I'll find their advert and I'll tweet it during the next break. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. Sorry, I was setting up the show. Isn't Jeff a nice man?
I think he's wonderful.
Isn't he a nice man? Really like Jeff.
And I hope he's not going at home in the taxi now, agonising. But I guess he will be.
he will be. Of course he will. Of course.
He's
he
lovely.
Will.
I told him he's got to come back in.
Yep, mate, yep. We didn't really get to talk about the Beatles. I wanted to pick because he's interviewed McCartney on several occasions and the Stones. I think.
Gosh.
I would always slightly jealous because he got the he always got the Paul McCartney interview.
And I've only been winked at by Ringo.
Well, I did get a Ringo interview.
Well, there you go.
Anyway, if you're a new listener, very, very welcome. Thank you very much for joining us. This is unlike any other radio show that is on at the moment, and that's not mere hyperbole. That's actually a fact. We're not talking about Muslims or Brexit or Trump or any of those things. We'll just sit here and we will chat. I haven't even looked through the papers. Maybe we should get the papers in a bit later on, because I've not even looked at them, and we might need them at some point. You're welcome to call in and join in the chat that we are having. You can call in and talk about, you know, what we were talking about with Jeff. Or if you want to talk about Brexit and Trump and Muslims, you are very, very welcome to. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you don't get let on other radio stations, or if you think, well, they won't let me say that because they are the mainstream media, the MSM, or correctly put, the MM, you'll get on. The only rules are you can't libel anyone and you can't incite hatred. OK, that's it. Swearing, not too much, please. I swear too much on this show and I'm trying not to. But honestly, you can come on and you can talk about absolutely anything. We do this every weeknight from 10 o'clock till 1 o'clock. Don't forget as well, we have a new thing. Sorry, that thing is really dry. I'm finding it hard to swallow. If the show is going well, guys, if the show is going well, we have got permission to try it once. I think the boss is going to be cool with it. To try it once and have what can only be described as a hashtag radio lock-in. A hashtag radio lock-in where we don't have to finish at 1 o'clock. If we don't want to finish at 1 o'clock, we can go on even longer. I'm going to play you one little bit. This is a teaser from the interview. Well, what is that? There we go. This is a teaser from the interview with Jeremy Vine that you will hear the full interview tomorrow. It's about 40 minutes long. It's a nice old chat. But this is just a little teaser of what Jeremy had to say.
I shat myself in my wagon.
There we go. That's if you missed it. This is an exclusive excerpt. He's so going to regret saying this. An exclusive excerpt from the Jeremy Vine interview that we'll be playing tomorrow evening.
I shat myself in my wagon.
That's happening tomorrow evening at 11 o'clock, only here on Talk Radio.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Just tweeting. Oh, no, hang on a minute. I just want to tweet the link. Oh, I just had it. There we go. There it is. Funny Buddies, they're called. There we go. Just tweeting the links. These lads, these are the lads that are making videos for us. And fair play. Harsh Singh, who came to
Tag Stroke Had Stroke He.
Yeah. And I see him sometimes in the gym I go to. He's in Pie by the Pound in New York City, where we were. He's got someone.
Is he doing the Ian and Kath tour?
He really is. This is two people in 1 week have been in touch. We had, I think it was Robert yesterday, who said that they just got back from New York, where they've been to the Stardust Diner.
Mm-hmm.
And Harsh is in Pie by the Pound. That's funny. Incredible. People are actually going to places that we said. Luckily, go and find Mr. Pisano and go and look in his house. Let's see what happens if we go to San Francisco. 0344 499 1000. We're just saying nice things about Jeff, and now we're just trying the food that he's got us, and now saying bad things about Jeff.
He didn't try to sell it or spin it, did he?
No.
He said it was awful. But it's not awful. It's just very dry mouth inducing.
Very, very dry mouth inducing. Go on. I tell you what, guys, listen. Let's have some fun and let's help these lads in. Is it Bangladesh they're from? The Funny Buddies? Let's help them, right? Because you can. It's literally, I think it cost me £4.70 once. It's under a fiver, right? For a minute, they will write a message on their chest. And here's what we do. I've got an idea. Less than a fiver, they'll write a message on their chest and make a video of them dancing, right? Do it this week, next week, and the week beginning the 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, the 11th, September, Monday, September the 11th, We all need a laugh on that date because of the historical connotations of it. If we get enough in, the one that makes us laugh the best will find a prize of low value.
Put it on Twitter and hashtag us in it.
There we go. There we go. Yeah, that's what we'll do. So they are the funny buddies. They're on Fiverr. They're not in any way associated with us. I just saw it today. I thought, oh, this is funny, man. They're in Bangladesh. You give them, it's $5, I think it is, and they will write a message on their chest and they will dance. The one that makes us laugh the most in the next couple of weeks, we'll find a cheap little prize, but it will be nice. That's what we'll do.
Good idea.
No one's calling in.
That's okay.
Screw those losers, is what I say. I say, screw those losers. Let's ask Jeremy Vine. Jeremy, what do you say?
I shat myself in my wagon.
Okay. Okie dokie. What other guests we got coming up? Bucks Fizz. Have you emailed them?
Yes, they're going to email me back.
Okay.
We also have, who else is coming up? Oh, Arlene Phillips.
Oh, yeah, lovely Arlene Phillips, who's absolutely delightful. Mark Mason's coming back in. Mark Mason, who wrote the brilliant book about postcodes. Was that the book that he was promoting when he came in last time?
No, it was...
Yeah, it was Postcodes.
Oh, was it?
It was Postcodes, I think. It was Postcodes, and he also did a book where he travels around the from John O'Groats to Land's End, the other way around, sorry, on a bus. Mm-hmm. He's got a new book about quizzes. He's gone around doing loads of different quizzes. Of course he has.
He's never in, is he?
And he sent me a question that I got right. This is a great question, by the way, guys. This is a great question. No Googling, please. Let me find the question he sent me. Musical question. Okay, so he's asking, he's talking about this book and stuff, and I'm looking forward to it. Anyway, it's coming in on the 10th of October. He says, great, thanks, Ian. Here's a teaser for you now. The Beatles had 3 one-word number ones in the US, one of which got to number one in the UK as well. Which three songs? The Beatles had 3 one-word number ones in the US, but what were the songs?
Okay. Help.
Correct.
Michelle.
Incorrect data.
Oh.
You can't just keep... Think carefully, right? That's the only misfire I'm going to let you have. You can't just keep saying all the one-word songs, all right? Can't do it. Give me some of that poppycorn.
I got half of them right.
You haven't got half of them right. You got a third of them right. There's three.
Half of the ones I've said to you I got right. That's very dry as well.
I hate popcorn.
Stop eating it then.
The Beatles had 3 one-word. If you know the answer, guys, phone in and beat Kath. 03444991000. The Beatles had 3 one-word number ones in the US, one of which got to number one in the UK as well. But with which three songs?
Dunno.
Well, I did know. I'm not saying. I'm going to wait and see if the callers call in. Why is no one calling in? Is it like there's been a nuclear strike or something? What's...
Can't joke about that these days.
Oh, if you can't even joke about... Hey, I've discovered... Oh, this is it. I've got an idea for the show, but it's physically dangerous.
Tell me anyway.
Okay, because So I've discovered two new programmes online, right? Two new programmes that no one else has ever seen. One is called The Last Ship. Not started watching it yet, but it's good, I think. Post-apocalyptic world, right? And it's these people are on a ship. And while they're on a ship, the whole world gets wiped out by some disease.
Is it a good ship, or is it like The Love Boat, or is it a battleship?
I think it's a battleship.
Oh, boring.
Like Potemkin. But I've not started watching that yet. But there's another programme I've started watching called Day 5, right?
What's that about, then?
It's a post-apocalyptic world, yeah. Right? And if you go to sleep... Have you seen this, Sam? I've just discovered... I'm on episode 3. No spoilers, guys. If you go to sleep, you die.
Oh.
You just die. And so it's Day 5, so it's set in Day 5 after this event. And so there's people... with like rings around their eyes, just taking shed loads of drugs to stay awake because they got. Then they're trying to find out what the cure is and where it came from, and it's flipping brilliant. And it's on this weird. It's not even on proper telly. This program. It's on this weird website, roostersteeth.com or roosterteeth.com, which I guess is the American way of saying hen's teeth. And they're a production company, and they make this. But it's as good as anything you see on Sky. It's brilliant.
So I'm watching that, right? And it reminded me of when I was a kid, when I was 15, I tried to stay awake. I did school, then I tried to stay awake all night, and then I was going to go to school the next day and see what it was like to stay awake. I fell asleep for an hour and a half. But something. And I was reminded of the programme, I think we mentioned it on the show the other day, that Channel 4 were going to do, it was about 13 years ago, and it was, I was really excited by the prospect of it. It was when kind of Big Brother was still quite new.
Mm-hmm.
And their new thing was going to be hosted by Dermot O'Leary, and it was going to be people were going to stay awake to see who could stay awake the longest. And it was scheduled to start on a Monday and finish on a Friday. And then right at the last minute, Channel 4 bottled it, and they said, oh, you can sleep for 15 minutes every 3 hours. Well, there's no point in that. But here's the thing. I am wondering, can we do an experiment where we stay awake for 5 days?
No.
Sorry?
I can't.
What?
No.
Why?
I like sleep.
Well, I love sleep.
No, I really like sleep.
Oh, no. I love sleep more.
And I'm very good at it.
I sleep at least 3 times a day. But can we do a thing where we stay awake for 5 days and we still do the radio show? Tell you why.
It's really dangerous.
No, you go not.
Also, I've got to drive quite a long way.
Well, then we'll get Rupert to put us up in a hotel. We won't even stand up. Just walk the streets. Wide awake. Just walk the streets like that. You can't sit down. You fall asleep for 5 days because you go properly nuts, and there'll be lots of what? Is there someone?
Who's that behind me? I swear there's someone.
Anyway, we've got this. Go to the callers now, and we got. Who's
there? Someone behind me.
Shh. Can you hear that? Is there someone there?
Hello?
Flipping it!
I can hear it too.
And that would be it, and it would be brilliant. It would be brilliant. What is the... Julie?
Yeah?
What is the world record for staying awake?
I don't know. I think something like 11 days? I'm just guessing. I don't know.
That can't be possible. Catherine's yawning at the thought of it.
I thought you kind of, like, died after 3 days without sleep or something.
Well, you can't... What? You can't die because of lack of sleep. You go nuts.
I thought you can die from lack of sleep,
no,
can't
mate.
You?
No, mate.
Well, your brain kind of basically just shuts down.
Yeah, you go insane. And you...
How about the experiments? Have you seen that fair thing on the internet with the experiments in Russia with the people where they did the sleep depriving and you hear their screams and their... as they're locked in a... laboratory.
You've seen footage of Russians locked in a laboratory screaming?
It might not be footage, it might be audio. Or it might be an old wives tale and I might have dreamt it.
Well, hang on, have you heard it?
I think I've heard it.
I cannot accept the I think I've heard
She's
it.
She's on some in pretty heavy medication at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not on any at the moment.
Oh, aren't you?
She's even more worrying.
Oh, gosh.
That's even more worrying. And what's the longest you've gone without sleep, Ian?
Well, back in the day.
Back
3 days.
Yeah.
But I was seeing all kinds of stuff then.
So, with your staying awake, would you be allowed to have coffee?
Yeah, you could have stimulants. Oh, yeah, you could have stimulants. Not like cocaine and stuff, but coffee and Red Bull.
Coffee, Red Bull and sugar.
Of course you could. Yeah. Here's the thing, right? I think it would get the show... a lot of publicity that's much needed at this moment.
I think it would get us sacked.
Why would it get us sacked?
Because we need to be on the ball.
Well, all right. Well, we get a grown up to come in and sit in and just hover over the dumb button.
All right.
Now we get a lot of publicity. We break a world record, and it's not like some crappy world record, like the amount of peanut butter someone can eat in 20 minutes. This is a proper world record that is going to be.
Taking that off you.
Why?
Because you're just eating it.
It's popcorn. There's no fat in popcorn.
I know, but you won't stop. And also, you're on air.
I'm hungry. Well, you're eating it now.
Well, you talk then.
I'm hungry. I reckon...
Do you want me to fill in? Hang on.
Do you want some of this?
Hang on. World record for not sleeping.
I would guess 9 days or 11 days. I'm sure I've heard it recently. I can't remember what I was listening to about not sleeping.
You know what? It's 11 days. How did you know that?
Oh. Because I've heard somebody talk about it really recently.
And do you know the name of the person you work with? In that case, if you've... All right, here's the test, Julie.
If you have really heard this, then you'll know the name of the person.
No.
Because it's a name you cannot forget.
Really?
Randy Gardner.
No. Ah! Oh, my God.
Randy Gardner is the holder of the scientifically documented record for the longest a human has gone without sleep.
I think we know why he wasn't sleeping.
Hang on. Not using stimulants of any kind.
Oh, my God.
11 days and 25 minutes.
Just pure Randy.
That's ridiculous.
Hang on a minute. It says here a man...
man dies.
Chinese man died 11 days. I'm not going 11 days. 5 days. 03444991000. You going to sponsor us?
Can I have a guess at the Beatles songs?
Yes, of course you can. Which? The Beatles had three one-word number ones in the US, one of which got to number one in the UK as well. What are the songs?
I'm struggling with the third one, but I have a guess. So, Help.
Okay.
Yesterday.
Okay, Doc.
Something?
Ladies and gentlemen, she's absolutely right. Yesterday, of course, was not, released as a single in the UK until 1976, so it was not a hit over here. I don't know how far it got. Over there, it was a huge hit. Help, Yesterday, and Something. Well done, Julie.
Yes.
Thank you very much indeed. 03444991000 is the phone number. Ian, Sam, stay there. Come to you after this.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Unfiltered night talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I've got a feeling that the funny buddies are going to be very, very busy over the next few days. I hope they've got enough paint. let's go to Sam. Evening, Sam.
I mean, how's it going?
Very well, thank you, mate. What you got for us?
Right, well, firstly, are you going to plan to do a show from San Francisco?
Sorry? What?
Are you planning on doing a show from San Francisco?
I've absolutely no idea where...
If you do, it's fantastic. I love San Francisco.
I love San Francisco. It's great. I only went there once. I think they stayed there overnight, and I love it. Here's the thing. I don't know. Me and Kath enjoyed New York so much, and I think that it was some of the best radio that we have ever made, that we're really keen to go and do somewhere else. And so we're just kicking around a few ideas at the moment, and it would be nice to be able to go off and take the show somewhere else.
Well, San Fran is beautiful. I mean, it's amazing place. But there's a place just outside San Francisco, over the Golden Gate Bridge, called Muir Woods. Have you ever heard of it?
No. Is it anywhere near Skywalker Ranch?
Well, they actually filmed, you know, the, what do you call them? Yeah. Those hover bike things on Star Wars.
Yes.
They actually filmed that in Muir Woods.
No, I thought that was in Pinewood. No, that was in Pinewood.
No, some of that was filmed in Muir Woods. Look it up.
I'll take your word for it.
It was amazing. I mean, it was beautiful. It was really peaceful and tranquil. I do love it there.
Yeah.
Brilliant. If you go there, go to Muir Woods. It's brilliant.
Okay. Yes.
But world records.
Yes.
For the easiest way to make £10, tell someone to eat three cream crackers and bet them they can't do it in 1 minute.
See, I think I think that's imminently possible.
You try it.
I've tried it. I'm sure I've done it.
Try them. You can't have water. Can't have butter. Eat them dry.
No. Yeah, I know.
In 1 minute, three cream crackers.
My Catherine, can I steal one of your catchphrases?
Yeah.
This ain't my first radio. Rodeo. Ooh. Let's try it again. Is that my first rodeo, buddy? The trick...
You do it on live on air tomorrow night.
Well, it's a bit local radio.
And I bet you can't do it.
Well, look, I bet I can, because...
I'll bet you a tenner. If you do it, I'll send you in a tenner.
One-sided conversation. No, because the trick is, what people do is they gab it all in one go. The trick is to do it in small bits. that's the trick. It's like that thing, but you can't eat a donut without licking your lips. Easy. Easy.
Well, I'll send you a tenner if you can do it.
Just send me a tenner, Sam.
Well, I'm not that rich, mate.
Well, you should...
You have to do it first.
Okay, well, let's assume I have, because I will, and I look forward to receiving that money. Good evening, Ian.
Good evening, Ian again.
Yeah, Ian again.
The longest that I went without sleep was about 40 hours on a flight to Brisbane in Australia.
Brisbane, you say?
Yes.
Why did you not sleep? Were you the pilot? I made myself laugh then. Pilots are allowed to sleep.
I wish. You two are great company.
It was me that said that funny line, by the way. I just want to flag that up.
I wrote it, though.
I wrote it.
Newspaper.
I said it myself. Anyway, Ian, why did you not sleep?
I just couldn't. The thought of the flight and being in an environment yes. which is not good for one's health.
So you spent 40 hours basically in terror.
Not in terror, but
anxiety, high anxiety.
Anxiety, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Ian.
Oh, mate, I'm sorry to hear that. Why were you going to Brisbane?
To visit my family in Australia, in actually in Redcliffe, the island of Redcliffe.
Okay. The flight back, was that as much fun?
Not really.
Hang on a minute, it doesn't take 40 hours to fly there. What are you talking about, man?
Well, no, it's 40 hours start to finish. I mean, I've got to travel from, at the time, Swansea.
Here we go.
To Heathrow.
Swansea Airport.
And then Heathrow.
There's no direct flights from Swansea Airport?
No, there's no flights to Heathrow.
Here's a long flight, and to Hawaii. Hawaii's a long flight because you fly out to San Francisco or LAX yeah. or LAX, which is that's like 15 hour flight, something like that, 16 hours.
Yeah,
and then the flight to Hawaii is like another 8 hours or something. It's a real long. Like, people think Hawaii, oh, it's part of America. Oh, it's flipping miles away. It's closer to Japan than it is to America.
Long, long ways.
Long old ways. Well, Ian, I hope you never have to. Have you still got family over in Brisbane?
Yes, a huge family.
Stuff them. Stuff them. Make them come to you, Ian. You're not getting on that flight again. I forbid it.
Right. I'll take note of that.
Thank you very much, Ian. I appreciate the call, man. I'm not having them flying over there like that. Not even that one bit.
Making him go all that way? Who do they think they are?
0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. What's the longest you've ever been awake?
Probably. Yeah.
We finish at 1 o'clock, Catherine. I don't want to. Just make something else. I don't know.
Probably a couple of days. One of these ones where you are, you know, if you're travelling somewhere and you just completely lose track of what day it is. Like when I went to Japan, I think.
Because I do like this Day 5 programme, but I do feel that they are not representing people who've stayed awake for 5 days particularly accurately, because they all seem quite clued up.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of hallucination going on, but they all seem quite aware, whereas I know... I mean, you know what it's like when you got a baby, and because the boys didn't want to be breastfed, so when they woke up in the night, we would take it in turns to get up and feed them with the bottle. And that thing of you know, the first 3 months where no one's getting a full night's sleep, and it's a very, very light sleep because you're just awake, waiting for the baby, doing the... So after 2 days of that, I'm absolutely... shattered. So 5 days of pure... Let's speak to the boss about it, because I genuinely think it's a goer. I think it'll be an interesting sociological experiment.
Okay, I'm warning you now, if I do it, I'll be an absolute nightmare.
Well, you don't have to... All right, you don't have to do it then. I'll do it.
No, I'm going to do it, but...
Here we go!
You asked for it, mate. You're not going to like me when I'm tired. Or, no, you're not going to like me when I'm more tired.
Don't make me tired. You wouldn't like me when I'm tired. Are you going to do it then?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Really? How are you going to cope with the kids?
I'm going to have to...
I'm going to isolate myself from them.
I'm going to have to ship them off somewhere.
You're going to do what?
Ship them
off.
Okay.
Are you seriously up for it? All right.
If he says, I'll try and find a way of doing it.
Listen.
I mean, he says no.
If boss says no, then he's less of a man than I thought he was. I don't see how it can fail. It's a sociological experiment. It's groundbreaking radio.
I'm not going to be able to travel in and out. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, no. We just drink coffee and we'll just walk from coffee shop to coffee shop.
Oh, my God.
Getting wired on caffeine.
But we've just got clean, both of us.
It don't matter. We'll detox again. Here's the thing. You don't want to drink coffee for the first 2 days. Don't want to drink it for the first 2 days. You want to go and act. It's when you really start flagging.
This is a terrible idea.
Then you go and have your first little coffee.
This is horrible.
And then by day five, you're just shotgunning Red Bulls.
This is a horrible idea.
We'll have Pussy, Monster. Pardon? All we'll do is get a big, you know those big, punch bowls they have at American proms in 80s movies.
The ones that get spiked, yeah.
We're just going to pour pussy, monster, more pussy, Red Bull, get more, even more pussy, mix it all up.
So I've got to tell my mum she's got the kids for a week because I'm going to go mad on pussy. I've really got to say those words to my mother, have I?
Yeah. So you got this is exactly what you've got to say to your mum.
You know what my mum would do?
Yeah.
What about an eyelid? Not again.
I'm getting lots of people. I've had several emails from people saying they can hear a funny noise when the show is on.
Gosh.
And I don't know what it is, right? And I've listened back to bits of the show. I don't listen to the whole show. I find it torturous. I don't, God knows how you guys are. I've listened back and I can't hear anything. It's not, is it? Is it my chair? Because sometimes my chair can be a bit squeaky. Hang on, I'm going to be...
It's not my computer because I've got it shut.
I'm going to be quiet. See? There. Is that that? Is this... Because Jay has just said it on Twitter. Is this it? It's gone now. There we go, that.
Yeah, it's probably that.
I think that's what you're hearing, guys. I'm sorry about that. I'll try and bring in some 3-in-1 tomorrow. Or WD-40. We'll get it sorted. Sorry about that, guys, if it's putting you off. I do apologise. 0344 499 1000. This is the Late Night Alternative. This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
The Funny Buddies apparently also do songs as well. So I've just ordered a song. I've spent about 20 quid on these guys. I've spent a fortune on them. I'm obsessed with the Funny Buddies. Now, someone is telling me, it's a bit of a, you know, kind of hit and miss show at the moment. You know, someone's just sent me something on Facebook. Hang on a second. Where is it? That's Super Deluxe.com. Someone's doing a world record for the longest rap ever. And I'm just going to the website just to make sure it's legit. And I don't know. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Of course you can. Let me just check this website. Does anyone know about this guy who's doing a world record for the longest rap? He's been going over 24 hours now. He's got 2 hours left. I can't get the website, superdeluxe.com. I can't get the website to open on this computer for some reason. So I cannot give you that information. I texted you some abuse earlier on, Catherine, and it really made me laugh. And then it really got me thinking.
Go on. Which abuse was it? I can't remember.
It was get knotted.
Oh, yes.
And get stuffed.
And I don't think a woman can get knotted. I think that's a man.
No. It got me thinking about what get knotted means. And I bet it's about being hanged.
I thought it was about...
Tying your penis up.
Yes.
No. I thought it was about getting hanged.
You might be right.
Because there's the thing my mum used to say to us, if we were north, oh, I'll swing for you. Mm-hmm. That's about getting hanged.
I thought it was a
swinging
a punch.
Punch. No. It's about swinging from the gallows.
Well, that's a nice thing. I would swing for you. It's like, I would die for you.
Well, I would. No, what it means, no. What it means is, I would go to prison. I will murder you, and then I'm
gosh,
so angry with you at the moment. I'm prepared to murder you, even though I will get hanged for it.
Gosh,
in the old days.
You're right. That's exactly what it means.
That's how angry I am with you. And it got me, I started thinking that get knotted, quite possibly, maybe I'm overthinking it, I don't know, but get knotted is quite possibly the same thing. You know, get knotted, tie a hangman's noose around you, and get stuffed. That's got to be, not a fist up the anus, that's what you just mimed. Taxidermy.
No.
Why not? Get stuffed.
Well, that's a luxury treatment, isn't it, really?
No, I think it's got to... I think that's to do with murder.
I know, I think that's a sexual one, get stuffed, isn't it?
Oh, I think they're murder. I think they're murder.
Anyway, this is, in many ways, this is a lot like Countdown.
It's boring. And not as good since the original people left. What? Mm. Oh, I don't know. I'm running out of material, if I'm being honest. I've not looked in the papers. Could you do me a favour and go and get the...
Yeah, right.
Pay all the papers, please.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I've kind of run out of... kind of run out of stuff. Do you know what I mean, guys? I've run out of stuff. What? Where are we? Is it Wednesday? It's Thursday. Flipping it, it's Thursday today. So the end of the week is nigh. I can't always be delivering the gold for you, can I, guys? Can't always be mining diamonds and polishing them up and sending them over to you. Oh, I did something I was going to talk about. Have you ever been in a VIP section? I was talking to someone who works here about VIP sections, and they said they were ushered into a VIP section once, a gig, and all that meant was... 03444991000, by the way. All that meant was they stood at the far end of the bar behind a rope. And I think I've been in a VIP section once. It was at a nightclub... I want to say it was in Reading, but I'm not totally sure. And I was co-hosting a charity... It was one of the worst nights of my life. An awful, hellish, awful night. And I was co-hosting a charity auction with Jade Goody. And I got in terrible trouble because one of the people who was bidding on... I don't even know what they were bidding on... I remember Kate Lawler was modelling clothes. It was a very, very strange night. And I made a joke that one of the people who was bidding looked a lot like Lovejoy. And he did. He was an older man with a leather jacket and a mullet. And I got in terrible, terrible trouble. I remember Jade Goody telling me what to do. And I was thinking, this was like, she'd only just come out of the Big Brother house maybe a year before. I remember thinking, oh, for goodness sakes. And I was in... I got to sit in the VIP section, and it was just the most awful. I remember I was sat next to someone. I can't remember who else was in there, but I was sat next to this woman, and I said, "Have we?" I'm telling my story of sitting in the VIP section.
Oh.
I said, "Have we met before?" She went, "No, I don't think so. You probably recognise me. I'm Faye Tozer from Steps." And I went, "No. I know you are. Genuinely, I think we've met. This isn't a chap line. This isn't me doing that thing of, oh, I recognise you. I think we've genuinely... Have I interviewed you or something?" Well, you might recognise me. I'm Faye Tozer from Steps.
She's from Dunstable.
Is she really?
Yeah, she came and did a charity thing at the old place.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, she's nice.
Good for her. Well, she's very nice. Have Steps split up again now? Because they... Do you remember there was... Claire and H had like a little thing going, didn't they? A group going. They had a couple of minor hits.
They got together, didn't they? Didn't they reunite last year?
I thought it was because they did that thing about 5 years ago. There was like a comeback thing, and it was filmed for TV.
No, they've come back more.
Have they come back more? Because that was great. Because it was like a documentary following them reuniting, and then when
there was
they
a
got
lot of heartbreak, wasn't
when
there?
They got back to the Manchester Arena. They burst into tears because this is where you and H said you were leaving.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Because hadn't H written a letter or something? Oh, it was exactly. A letter.
Oh, I don't know. Isn't it funny? But they got back together again, did they? Are they still...
I think there's a new song.
They can't still be playing arenas, can they? Can Steps still be playing arenas? Wow. That's... I never got Steps...
I liked them.
I liked Lisa.
Lisa Scott-Lee.
Yeah, I liked her. I thought she was the most talented out of all the Steps.
Oh, I always liked Claire.
Here we go. This is what we're going to do. I've got it. Last hour of the show. I've got it. I knew it would come to me. Pop's unsung heroes. Pop's lost stars. Those who have fallen for pop. Noel from Hearsay.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got the rules of the game, yeah?
I think so.
0344 49 at the Hearsay. How do you spell Hearsay? H-E-A-R apostrophe S-A-Y. Just make sure I get it right. Pop's unsung heroes, those who went out there and they sold a million, but no one remembers Noel from here say we remember Kim Marsh, of course, because she's in Coronation Street.
Joey Fatone from NSYNC, whose name looked a lot like Joey Fat One.
Joey Fatone. Who were in... Oh, NSYNC was Timberlake, wasn't
Timberlake,
it?
Timberlake, yeah.
Joey Fatone.
Joey Fat One.
0344 499 1000. Let's commemorate in the way we know best those who also served by laughing at them.
Anthony Costa?
No. I don't think he's fallen. I don't think any of the Blue Boys have fallen. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, we'll shelve that.
Yeah.
We'll shelve Costa.
Who was the group? Hang on, John's called in. John!
Hello.
Who's also served?
No, I haven't served.
What? Sorry?
I was in the VIP section.
What?
I was in the VIP section.
An OAP section?
A VIP section.
Oh, you were in a VIP section. Sorry, I do apologise. Yes, John.
Wearing a bra.
Sounds like a wacky night out.
It was. Well, it was at Rewind Festival.
You're going to... just keep speaking, but try and put these words into full sentences, John. I have faith in you.
Not a problem. But I ended up in a VIP section in Rewind because I was wearing a bra for charity. And it got signed by loads of VIPs in, and we're raffling the bra off for a lady that died of breast cancer.
Well, okay, well then I have to... Who signed your bra?
Nick Hayward, Nick Kershaw, Kim Appleby...
All the Nicks!
Yeah, as my wife says, the Knicks, Kershaw and Hayward.
Yes.
And there was loads of people. And all the Rewinders that knew her also...
I don't know what... I'm going to say it, because you've mentioned it a third time now. And when you mention it twice, I could kind of nod along as sagely. But but now I've got... No, I don't know what Rewind is. I know what it means on a video recorder, but in terms of nightclubbing...
No, it's a festival. Just near you, in Henley. It's an 80s festival.
Okay. Well, hang on, what were the Appletons doing there?
No, Appleby.
Who?
Kim Appleby.
Oh, Mel and Kim.
Yes.
Oh, flipping it. Yeah.
And we're doing a big live night for her and for her husband and her kids, so they can go abroad for the first time ever.
Who? Mel Appleby?
No, for the lady that died of breast cancer.
Oh, okay. So I'm not being deliberately being an idiot. This is me. This is me, and I woke up today at 1 o'clock. Imagine this after 5 days of not sleeping, John. Trying to follow the thread of you lot.
Right. So, do you want me to start from the beginning?
I feel we've got... You went to a festival and you got your bra signed by Mel from Mel and Kim.
Yes.
Beautiful.
And other people.
Okay. Who was the...
How big was the bra?
It
was a huge bra on the inside.
Who was the person... we've all got things signed, and quite often someone who's not that famous will go, go on, I'll... And you go, no, it's all right, don't worry. No. Who was the person that signed it that you didn't want to sign it?
No one, actually.
Oh, come on, John.
Someone I didn't know.
There we go. Was it a pop star?
I think so.
But you don't know, what do they look like? Let's try and work it out.
I think, he was part of BEF, which is the British Electric Foundation.
The what? So that's not, BEF? Right.
Yes.
That's not, so he's not a pop star?
Well, they are. It's like Heaven 17 and Jilted John and loads of people from Sex Pistols got together and they all formed the British Electric Foundation. So, one bloke signed the bra, but I haven't got a clue who it is.
Oh, mate, this is it. John,
we are raffling the bra off for charity.
I'm sure you are.
Clive Jackson from Doctors and the Medics is going to be doing a charity for the lady that died of breast cancer.
Well, I wish you the very, very best of luck with that, John. Let's go to Dan.
Darius Dinesh.
Oh,
beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Because he had a little bit of a spit and polish, didn't he?
Yeah, he had a renaissance. He does the West End now. I think that Darius, I don't know, I'm going to have a triple-selling, multi-platinum album.
He was special.
But he was great because he knew he was a little bit crap in the end.
Yeah.
And then he worked with it.
Yeah. Where is
Can
he now?
Can I suggest another curveball?
Yeah, go on.
I don't know if you'll agree, and it's a difficult one, and I realise it's coming up to the news, Jerry Halliwell.
Well...
What are you talking about? No, of course not.
Why not?
She's a big star. She was hosting This Morning the other day with a little girl.
Girls.
What?
as part of the Spice Girls solo career. Would you want to listen to her again?
You've misunderstood. Catherine, you explain to him. I'm eating popcorn. He's totally misunderstood it.
It's got to be people who never got to that point.
Okay. Big Fun.
Nope. Can't, here's the thing.
It's got to be a member.
It's got to be, you've got to name them. It's like someone, Michael has texted him, the Reynolds Girls. No, no, no. Give me one of the names of the Reynolds Girls. Yeah, I'll take that. But I'm not having a group.
Okay. Damien, who did that cover of The Time Warp 30 times.
Oh, yeah, there we go, Dan. He's back in the room. Well done, Dan. Thank you for that. There we go. Damien from The Time Warp. Hell yeah, we'll have that. There we go. I felt bad being so harsh with Dan.
But he got it in the end.
He learned. Okay, this is it. The last hour of the show. And anything else goes, of course. But we are saluting those who also served in Pop's rich, but yet very bloody wars through the 70s, 80s, 90s and 2000s. 0344 499 1000. Can you contribute to this list? Joey Fatone, what was he from? NSYNC?
NSYNC.
Noel from Hearsay. Darius Dinesh and Damien, who did The Time Warp. 0344 499 1000. And can anybody actually name either of the Reynolds Girls? I had that record. I like that.
I liked it too.
It's a good song, that. But where are they now? This is the Late Night Alternative. This is Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. This is the Late Night Alternative. My name is Ian Lee. You're listening to Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
There's a voice that keeps on calling me. Down the road, it's where I'll always be. Every stop I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. Down this road that never seems to end. When new adventure lies just around the bend. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow the whole world is my own. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. There's a world that's waiting to unfold. A brand new tale no one has ever told. We've journeyed far, but you know it won't be long. We're almost there, we paid our fare with a hobo song. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. So if you style. Maybe tomorrow I'll find what I call home. Until tomorrow, you know I'm free to roam.
Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. Last hour of the show, the Late Night Alternative, weeknights between 10 and 1. I say the last hour, if the show starts cooking, we could carry on after 1 o'clock. I will tonight be the night that we do our first radio lock-in. I just don't know. Let's go to Davey. Good evening, Davey.
Good evening, sir. How are you doing?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, good. Right. Artists that have transcended the decades.
Sorry?
Music.
What did you say?
The artists that have transcended the decades.
Okay.
Norman Cook. Okay, from the House Martins to being Pizza Man. underground dance music in that style. He done Freak Power, and then he's gone on to establish himself as Fatboy Slim.
Yes. Well, he's not died, has he?
No, no.
Oh, God.
You're talking about music artists that have transcended the decade.
Who was?
Sorry?
Who is?
You were talking about
music
artists that have continued and then came back and came back and came back.
I think we were talking about the exact opposite. We're welcome to talk about it, David.
Let's just remind ourselves of who's on the list.
So this is the list we've got. Noel from Hearsay, Joey Fatone from NSYNC, Darius Dinesh.
Is this not people that have been involved in music groups that have went on to go solo?
And Damien from the Time Warp. No. But I'm happy to pursue this, David, but just to clarify, we were doing almost literally the exact opposite of musicians that have transcended time. It's pop's fallen heroes, those who served so nobly, so bravely, but have fallen by the wayside. Would you compare Darius Dinesh with Fatboy Slim?
Well, different genres of music, obviously.
Yeah.
But
and?
Yes, I can see where you're coming from, because Darius Dinesh tried to make his name on the TV talent shows, was rebuffed by them, and then proclaimed that he was going to make himself a superstar, which he quite didn't.
Well, he did have a big hit.
He did go to the West End musicals, didn't he?
He had a very big selling album, very big hit. I think it was called Colourblind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was all right.
It was all right. It was an all right song.
I'm trying to think. I did have another one in mind for years, which I don't know if you would have known of.
Yes.
And it's what you've just clarified with me has kind of blown that one out of the water.
Well, look, we could. Okay, but I'm happy to say anyone can phone in about absolutely anything. We don't turn anybody away here. Artists that have transcended the ages. Paul McCartney. There you go.
Madonna.
Oh, fantastic.
Bruce Springsteen.
What about, then, a guy called Byron Stingley?
I beg your pardon?
Byron Stingley. He was in a group at the end of the 80s, end of the 80s, called Ten City, who had an American house track which took the British UK charts by storm. And that was in a group called Ten City.
No one actually says they took the charts by storm unless they're Paul Gambaccini.
Well, apart from him, and the track that they had out was That's the Way Love Is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Now, 1997 was the next time you ever heard of him, and that was when he had the track out called Get Up Everybody.
I'll be the judge if I've heard of him.
That was the title of his track, but that was him going solo, and it took him...
Wow.
What, 8-9 years to get back into the British charts?
It's certainly not one that I... Hang on a minute. You've called in with Fatboy Slim. We've had Paul McCartney and Bruce Springsteen. And now you're saying... Sorry, what was this guy's name? Big Squeen Bagua?
Byron Stingley.
Byron Stingley. I was close.
Did you think it was Big Squeen Bagua?
Something like that. But it sounded...
He was in a group called Ten City.
Well...
And the track was called That's the Way Love Is.
David, thank you very much. I appreciate yes. Good evening, Paul.
Yo, yo, yo.
Bum rush the show. Oh, it's your boyfriend.
Yay.
It's your booty call, Kath.
What?
The Reynolds girls.
Right.
One of them was called Bert.
Oh, God.
He's doing jokes.
He's not
now.
One of mine.
Is he? I'm assuming it's your night off and you're drunk.
I apologise.
Are you drunk?
No, I wish.
Hey.
Here's a group for you. All of the Jackson 5 apart from Michael.
Shut up, man. Tito and Jermaine, what are you talking about?
Yeah, they're pony. What have they done?
They were in the Jackson 5.
They're pony.
No, they were Tito Jackson, what has he done? Get out of town.
They're still touring.
Are you nuts?
Yeah, tonight I am.
Thank you very much indeed, Paul. What is going on?
Have a word with yourself, Paul.
I think I preferred it in the last hour when no one was calling in.
Still, good joke, Burt Reynolds.
David!
Hello, I don't believe we were talking about artists who are allergic to peanut butter.
No. I've got three bangers.
Someone on Twitter is now saying Falco. No. Mm. It's not. I make these things are so obvious in my head. Falco's a big star. He's dead now, Falco. But so Falco's a big star. Falco, you know, we all know Falco's name. It's the ones where you've really got to try and remember their names. They're the ones where you don't know their surnames. Like Noel from Hearsay. That's why, you know. Go on then, David. Let's hear yours.
Well, I've got one. No, I've got two bangers and one potential.
I don't want to hear your bangers.
Stop boasting.
Right, well, the first potential was that guy that was in Coronation Street who played Gail's son.
Nicky Tilsley.
Yep.
He was called...
He ran for, as a Tory MP as well at one point.
Yeah.
Was it Jason something?
Nope.
Blonde lad.
It was Nick.
Nick. He sang, he was naked, weren't he?
He was in
a lot of the time.
He was in like a pod, wasn't he? He was naked in a pod.
I mean, he's my maybe.
I can see why he's a maybe.
And then I've got two bangers.
Hang on, we're focusing on this maybe.
What's he called?
Nick Carter, was it?
No.
No, Nick Carter sang, was one of the brother of one of the New Kids on the Block, wasn't he?
No.
He was the brother of somebody, and he did a version of Surfing USA.
Aaron Carter is what you're thinking of.
Oh, right.
Nick Carter was the one that was in Boys. What were they called? Backstreet Boys. Oh.
I think Boys to Men are men now.
Definitely.
Nick.
Nick is the name of the character he plays on Coronation Street.
Right, he was a massive gay icon for a long time. Did you remember?
David Badcock?
No, this fella.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, of course I do.
I recently found out he's married to a woman.
Well, no, he wasn't gay, yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
He just melted the gay market.
Yeah.
His name wasn't Nick.
No, his name was...
In Coronation Street, he was Nick Tilsley. He's now... Here's the thing, he's been replaced by someone else in Coronation Street.
Am I allowed to Google it?
Yeah, you are.
Hang on, Matt. Do you want to hear me two bangers while I Google it?
Yeah, go on.
Holly Valance. Yay. Adam Ricketts.
Adam Ricketts! Yeah, he's got Ricketts, isn't he?
No, he was very muscular.
So, is Holly Valance going on the list?
No.
Adam Ricketts is.
And my final banger. Who were them girls that kissed each other?
Tattoo.
But you've got to name them.
Tattoo.
You've got to name them.
What, the members of Tattoo?
Yes, you've got to name them. And also, I think Tattoo are too big. I'm afraid not. So the only one that's gone on the list, David, is your maybe. Your bangers are out.
Julia Volkova and Lena Katina aren't going on the list.
Sorry?
Julia and Nina are not going on the list, no.
I think I'm going to join that Fiverr.
What are you going to sell?
Personalised videos.
Of?
Me.
Doing?
Talking.
About?
Anything you like.
You should do it, mate, because if the people are prepared to... Those Bangladeshi, I've spent about 30 quid on those Bangladeshis tonight. I'm obsessed with them. So you should do it. Definitely, Dave. David, you should do it. But what you need to do then is stop doing stuff for free on Facebook.
Yeah.
With bloody pleasure, let me tell you. I'm trying to do it now, but my computer's ever so slow. I might have it by the morning.
Hey, David, can I be indiscreet for a second?
Yeah, I'll go on.
Just something I noticed once I got home last night.
Yeah.
That you'd sent out a little, like a Twitter booty call to me. What happened with Danielle?
Yeah, well, because Danielle has not accepted my friend's request.
Funnily enough, she got a bit freaked out about me talking about requesting a toe sucking on air. she didn't find that to turn on. Kath, do you fancy...
I'm not sucking anything.
No, not sucking. Little kiss.
No. David, I'm very flattered. I think you're lovely in that. But can we stay not friends?
Right. Anyone else? Not you, Ian. I mean,
Listen, get on Fiverr. Right. Set yourself up. And you start making some money, buddy. You start doing that. Oh, you can do spiritual stuff on there as well. There's people that do healing and stuff. Honestly, you can find anything. So do some of your ghost shiz.
I'm going to be a millionaire.
Yeah, mate, we all are. This is it. We found that we're all going to be millionaires.
The sky's the limit for Babcock.
Oh, I can't cut you off because phone box is closed down. So hang on a minute. I'm going to cut you off in a second.
Why do birds suddenly...
I can't cut him off. Hang on.
Every time.
There we go. It works now. Let's go to a break.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
There's a brand new episode of the Rabbit Hole podcast up. Go and download it from iTunes, Acast, your usual podcast providers. Type in the Rabbit Hole and my name or Catherine's name and it will pop up. Don't forget, Sunday the 17th of September, we are playing, we're doing a show recording, probably three podcasts I think we'll get to record there, at the King's Hall in London between 7.30 and I think 9, or 7 and 8.30, something like that. Tickets are about £12. It's selling very well. We could do with selling a few more. And if you listen to the latest episode of the podcast, you will hear how you could possibly win a pair of tickets. It's as simple as that to any of our shows throughout the country. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you're very welcome to. Oh, look, now I'm going to go and... Matt, just stop being a dick on Facebook. Otherwise, I don't want to ban you from the page, Matt. But I think I might have to ban you from the page, Matt, if you don't stop. Good evening, Jimmy.
You all right, pal?
I'm all right, Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm very well.
Didn't I?
Even though you didn't ask.
Thank you very much indeed. Well spotted, sir. What you got for us, Jim?
I enjoy watching your rabbit hole.
Cheeky.
Well, on TV and stuff. On the YouTube.
Yes.
Kath has been excellent last night. When I watched it on the Periscope as well, she seemed the happiest I've ever seen her.
Because she is quite mardy usually, isn't she?
I've never seen her mardy. I've just seen her just really, really happy last night on the Periscope.
Thank you, Jimmy, for mentioning this, because I wanted to bring this up, but I felt embarrassed. Why were you so happy last night, Catherine? What was going on?
I'd had a glass of wine, hadn't I?
Oh, yeah. She was drunk, mate. That was what it was.
No, she was really, really giddy, and she seemed like really into the show.
Yeah, because normally she's not into the show. And he's right. He's absolutely spot on.
Yeah, you got me there.
Yeah, she's normally not into the show at all. what prompted you to call in tonight, James?
It's Jimmy.
Well,
yeah, and it's Jimmy. Yeah. Not James.
Okay. Question still stands?
Just because, you seemed like you were dying with Carla, and you didn't really have anyone to call in, so I just thought I'd give you a call.
Well, thank you. What have you been up to today, Jim?
No, it's Jimmy. Come on, man. I've been listening to a few of your replays. I've seen your Virgin... That was quite a good show, that. Some decent music on the Sunday. I've got to watch the replays, that's all. So, yeah, it was decent. And then I knew that I had to jump in on tonight.
Yeah.
Just because after last night's show, you was going to cancel the Periscope. Well, you did cancel the Periscope, and I was a bit shocked with that.
That was on Monday's show, wasn't it?
No, it was last night, so you cancelled it.
Oh, no, because we were having trouble with the Wi-Fi.
Right, but on Sundays, you said you was going to, on the Virgin one, you said you were going to cancel it as well.
Here's the thing with Periscope. I don't have it close to me now because I don't want to read the comments, because while most people are nice, some people are scumbags on there and very, very rude and stuff, and I don't need to see that. So that's that. So I have it a distance away from me now, so I can't read the comments. And I've kind of made a deal with myself that I will only Periscope when I am feeling upbeat, when my mental health issues are not dragging me down. If I feel depressed or feel down in any way, then I either don't do the Periscope or I stop it halfway through because it's a little bit harder to fake that kind of stuff on the camera.
I completely understand where you're there, Ian, but yep. What I'm saying is I go through the replays, you know, and your rabbit holes.
Yes.
So, like, I like to see the full thing.
I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry about that, Jimmy, but I'm, as selfish as it may sound, I have to put my mental health before your pleasure.
No, nothing to do with your mental health or anything like that. And when you had your Virgin on, that were perfect.
Yeah.
You said you were cancelling and you carried it on and that was fine.
Yes.
And when I was watching it last night on the Periscope,
yes.
It cancelled off.
Yes. That was a I'm not quite sure where we're going with this, but that was problems with the Wi-Fi.
No, you
yes,
say
Yes.
Last night.
Yeah, last night was problems with the Wi-Fi, yes.
Yeah. Yes. And but on when I was watching your Virgin, you said you were going to cancel it off.
Right, and I did. I think I cut the last 30. I think I stopped Periscope in the last 30 minutes of the show on Sunday.
And it was really good, though. Yes. I was really enjoying it.
Yes. Well, as I've said before, I do it to protect my mental health.
Yeah, it's fine, man.
Thanks, man.
I completely understand with that.
Thanks, Jimbo.
But no, it's Jimmy.
Sorry.
Come on, Ian.
Yep.
But I think you should just play it all the way through and just ignore all the haters and stuff and just carry on because there's a lot of supporters for you, man.
Yeah, well, and I appreciate
everybody
it.
Everybody loves you.
Not everybody, well, Jimmy.
Well, the majority love you.
Well,
the majority
again,
love you.
Again, not everybody does, but
the majority do.
I appreciate your kind words, Jimmy, and you keep on watching. Tonight's show's on Periscope, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, I'm watching it.
Well, good for you. I'm giving you the peace sign.
Cass not as happy as she was last night.
No.
Gosh, you can read me like a book.
Yep. Like a big old book.
Yesterday, she was unreal. She was just so happy and jumping all over the place. She was just, like, in her own little place.
Yep. She was in her own little place. That's exactly where she was. Well, listen, Jimmy, I appreciate the call and the support. Thanks, man.
No worries, Ian. Thank you very much.
Take care, buddy. Thank you. He's, of course, referring to the Rabbit Hole YouTube channel I've got. Go and subscribe. Nearly all the 11 o'clock shows are there. Loads of new stuff is up there. So all the films we made in New York are up there. And I'm going to... this weekend or next week, I've got loads of video, VHS tapes and DVDs of old shows that I did years and years ago. And I'm going to slowly start uploading those things as well. So it's youtube.com/rabbithole. Good evening, Cleo.
Hello, gorgeous. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Thank you, man. What you got?
I was thinking about the Fallen Heroes from the 80s music and all that stuff.
No, what is this? No, Catherine, explain. Why can no one get the really simple ones that I do?
Doesn't necessarily have to be the 80s. We're just talking about, you know, those members of bands.
Yeah.
Who fell by the wayside.
Well, I'm specifically, I'm on my brain sort of trapped in the 80s somehow. But oh, I was thinking of the, all three of the Thompson twins. But I don't know their names anyway.
I wouldn't allow the Thompson twins. The white bloke from the Thompson twins is doing some concerts, I think. I think he's part of one of these 80s revival packages, which is, I always thought it was odd. Because I used to love the Thompson. I do love the Thompson. You Take Me Up. I can't remember if it's You Take Me Up or the other one. It's got this brilliant line. What is the line? About working on machines. I know what it means to work hard on machines. Wow, I think that's such a great line. And I think they're a great group. And I remember the first kind of pop album I got that wasn't the Monkees and it wasn't the Goodies. It was about the age of 8 and it was the Thompson Twins' Into the Gap album. Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I think they're great. And I always thought it was weird that the Thompson Twins haven't cashed in on that 80s revival.
Yeah,
they never have.
Man.
Love the Thompson Twins.
How many albums did they make, do you know?
Four.
Bloody hell.
Four albums, I'm going to say.
But then, because when you mentioned that you'd need to know the names to
yep.
David, Mr. Babcock himself, I thought... of Jed, the dancer from Howard Jones?
Nope.
Would you not have him? Nope. Did he have to be a singer?
Well, how many... Just remind me, how many pop hits did Jed have? Yeah, exactly.
But he was the dancer, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was exactly.
And he was like there. All, he was like integral to the.
He was the, exactly. He was the dancer. He wasn't integral. Look at this. Hang on a minute. You can buy. This is the thing. This is the problem I've got, Lane. Right. That so much crap I've got in my house is because about 12:25 most nights, an obscure film, or an obscure band, or an obscure book will get mentioned, and I go on Amazon, and I buy them. And I, or if it's a group, I go and buy the box set. And I've got so much rubbish I bought. Or I go home and I can't sleep. So 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm on Amazon. And now I can see here, look, there is a Thompson Twins box set. Five CDs. That's 14, 20, that's a lot of my, 14 quid.
See, you do that to me.
Sorry?
When you always mention, like, books and stuff, and I go, oh, God.
I've never mentioned a book on this show once.
Sorry, a book.
Thank you very much indeed.
I'd like to end on a positive note.
Okay. Thank you very much indeed. We can see that coming a mile off. Oh, but I it's always appreciated. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. This is Talk Radio.
Late night conversation. Wealth losing sleep over. The late night alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Now, looking for books about the Thompson Twins.
Stop it.
There aren't any.
Yes. So that's a sign. Stop.
Sign to stop it. Ay, 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 ay. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. Viewers. Oh, here we go. This is the programme I was going to do. Celebrity Island. Right, let's see who's in it. This is it. Viewers rapped Bear Grylls' new show Celebrity Island after stars dropped the F-bomb 52 times in the first episode. I was up for this. I got a call from my agent saying that he represented one of the standby contestants. All these shows have got standby contestants. So if someone pulls out, or for a show like this, if someone
dies.
Someone dies or someone bottles it, you know, you get there and go, actually, I don't want this. They have about 3-4 standby people. And I got a gig as a standby person, but it was when I had tonsillitis. And I had to go and have a rabies shot and load of all the heps and a couple of other things. And I got paid quite good money for not going on the island. I was really ill with tonsillitis. I think possibly made worse by getting rabies.
Definitely.
But the thing is, to get paid, the several thousand pounds I got paid to not go, I had to go back and get a second set of injections. And I was really ill, right? I mean, really, I was hallucinating. Kath phoned me up. I didn't know who she was. She texted me and I said, I'll have to speak to my wife about this or so. I didn't know who you were. I didn't know anything.
Then I get a phone call from you saying, Kath, I've done something really stupid.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh, God, what?
When everyone went out of the house, I snuck out of the house, got a cab, went into London to get more rabies and hep shots while I was off my face with this tonsillitis. And I had to, it's that thing, if anyone, and I talk about drugs because I used to take drugs and I don't take drugs anymore. And I think drugs did more bad for me than good. But if anyone has ever taken a very strong narcotic and then suddenly been in a room with people who are straight, the focus and the energy it takes to make it look like you are being normal, when if you just wave your hand up, you look at your hand and go, oh, no, I'm in a room with people, I've got... And I did that for 2 hours. Focus and be normal. And it was awful. And I very nearly got the call to go out, but it would have been at the height, peak tonsillitis.
You would have died.
The worst offender was Coronation Street's Ryan Thomas. Who's Ryan Thomas?
I think he used to be one of the brothers.
See, these are the people. These are the people, right? I knew Mark Watson was doing it. Ryan Thomas. Ewan Thomas.
Ewan Thomas.
Who's he?
Don't know.
Okay. Jordan Stevens.
No.
RJ Mitty?
No.
Sarah Kayat?
No.
Mark Watson, yes.
Yes.
They're all wearing the... I had to buy those trousers. They gave me 300 quid to go and buy clothes, which never got used. But now I use them as my motorbike clothes. Those are my walking shoes from these suckers. Melody Thornton?
No.
Shazia Mirza?
Yes.
Now, I know that name.
I think we've had her on a programme before.
Okay. Right. So this is the thing. Then I see these people and go, who are they? Right? I'm sure they're mums and dads and their kids and their brothers and sisters. And I think, oh, God, Jesus, if I can't even get on something like this, with those people on, then the TV career is over. I've said it now. If I've been offered I'm a Celeb four times, it's been a we want you to come and do it offer. And I've always said no. And now, when I could do with, I don't know, £80,000 cash, it would be really, really handy at the moment for all kinds of reasons. I'd do it. If they ask me again, I'd do it. I'll never get asked again. Viewers wrapped. Bear Grylls' new show, after the F-bomb 52 times in the first episode. How are they talking about? No, it was on after 9 o'clock.
It's on Channel 4.
I didn't know it started. The worst offender was Coronation Street's Ryan Thomas, 33, who used the word 18 times. Is that all? Overall, 8 of the 10 celebs swore 65 times, averaging 1 every 40 seconds. Even Bear managed a shit in the first 6 minutes. Well, that takes something going.
Was it in the woods?
When I go on holiday, I can't do that for about 4 days. The Channel 4 show on 15 minutes after the 9 p.m. watershed. Oh, get over it. Follows the stars. But you can show dead bodies on the news at 6 o'clock. Do you know what I mean? You can see dead people.
What I love is when they have these sort of, this is horrific, this is terrible behaviour. But someone sat there and counted all the swears.
The Channel 4 show was on after 9 p.m, follows the stars on an uninhabited Pacific island for 28 days. Yeah, it was, you get flown business class to Panama, where you get 3 days of intensive training with Bear. He doesn't stay on the island with you. Viewer Vicky Cowley complained, do they have to swear so much? Yeah, they're on an island where they've got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got clothes. I dumped myself there. That was for you, Periscopers. Swore at will.
But this is another one of those things outraged on Twitter, isn't it?
And Richard Whitbread joked, let's see how many times we can say the F word in 1 minute. Oh, really? Do you want to play that game? I reckon I can do it 80. Three others complained to Watchdog Ofcom about Tuesday's opening. If it's just about swearing, pointless. It was after 9:15, and I bet they gave a warning as well at the start about bad language. Fans also accused Runner, Ewan,
of
sexism for calling Towie's Lucy Mecklenburgh.
Yeah.
A ditzy girl and moaning about. So who are the list of the people that are on it then? Hang on. Bear Grylls. Celebrity Island lineup. Let's see. Let's get the. Who's in? All right. So these are the people that we've got. Right. Let's just see how low my star has sunk. Lucy Mecklenburgh.
No, Mecklenburgh, isn't it?
Doesn't matter. RJ Mitty is. He's in Breaking Bad.
Oh.
He's in Breaking Bad. Oh, yeah, he's a bit of flavour. He's the son in Breaking Bad. He's flavour of the month at the moment. Yeah. Can your body stop making noises, please? Sharon Davies. Sarah Kayat, TV Doctor. Shazia Mirza. Oh, I know he's Shazia Mirza. Of course I do. Mark Watson. Jordan Stevens, Rizzle Kicks rapper. Melody Thornton from the Pussycat Dolls. Oh, Jesus. I'm never going to get a look in. Come on, guys. Give me a look in. Would have got paid. I'm assuming it was Favoured Nation, so they all got the same fee, just under 50 grand. Which isn't actually that much. No. There's a lot of money. But for the gig it is, for 4 weeks on a desert island when you've got no food.
Four weeks is a long time.
Yeah. I mean, in the real world, of course, it's a lot of money. But in TV terms, 4 weeks on a desert island, 50 grand ain't that much money. Ain't that much. But I'd have been there. I'd have done it. I would have done it. Oh, 03444991000 is the telephone number. An entertainer has been told by a judge not to sing karaoke at home. Neighbours accused Kay Wallace, 53, of wrecking their peace by belting out. But this is what I imagine your house is like when you've had a few shandies. Belting out songs by Dusty Springfield, The Four Tops and Patsy Cline.
OK. Sometimes it is like that. Yes, you're right.
District Judge Diana Barker rejected the noise nuisance complaint, but urged nursing home performer, Kay, to stop amplified singing at her semi in Paignton, Devon. She has removed... This is a great line. She has removed her karaoke system, but said, my voice isn't strong enough on its own, so I need the amplifier. You're in the wrong business, love. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Jacked up jive talk for janitors, jazz cats and gin-soaked boys and girls.
Zach Commando.
If you're awake, you're welcome.
I've got 5 cactus needles stuck in my...
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
That'll do it. 15 minutes, thenceabouts of the show left, probably a little bit less than that. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. I've turned to the Daily Star Text Maniacs page. It's one of my favourite pages in newspaper. I've not looked at it. We'll just dive in and see if we can find any texts. Here's one from Al in Durham. Bearing in mind people have to pay for this, right? They pay money to text these in, right? Kate Price says she'll be wed again in 5 weeks' time. That's a long time by her standards. She'll be saying she's becoming a nun next.
Good one.
Hang on a minute. A lot of these are about football. All right, here we go. Here we go. This is a great text. I'm going to read it as it's written. So it's from BT in Rochdale. There's no punctuation and there's only one capital in it. Two capitals. All poverty and starving children adverts on telly asking for money aid to get food supplies. And what do we see on brekkie telly? A wagon load of idiots in Spain diving around in a load of tomatoes. Oh, I'm sorry, the two capitals have been put in by the newspaper. Typical Spanish, like that crap idea of sport killing and torturing bulls. What? Sorry? It's a good point. Badly made. Bad point, well made. Who knows? Rubber duck, where's your status? I'm in Bath. People sending jokes. All right. My mate builds yachts in his attic. Sales have gone through the roof. That's quite a good
That's
one.
That's a good one.
That's quite good, that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hang on. But a lot of these are jokes. Off Gem are a waste of space. They do nothing over energy prices. Earn your money and do something. As if the boss of Off Gem is going to be going through text. Hey, flipping it. Bloke called Scouse has texted in Text Maniac. We got to sort this out, guys.
Yeah, yeah, this is serious.
Also,
he's given us an excellent business plan.
Yeah, I'll take this. Hello, caller.
Oh, hi.
Hello, caller.
Oh, you're all right.
Hello, caller. Yes, we're good, caller.
I didn't realise you were straight to air.
Well, just we're not necessarily, but you called and I grabbed you.
Oh, well, thank you. This thing you've been reading from the Daily Star, I'm not happy about that, being from Rochdale.
Well, I did wonder whether Rochdale was what had got you to phone in, Kyle.
What? Thanks, Catherine. No, that was it. That was the sob it. I was sat happily listening to the entire show, not going to contribute. No. The word Rochdale is like the Mancurian candidate. I was like, I'm having that.
Yeah, not in my name.
No, I'll tell you what, we don't do that. We don't play silly adverts in papers. We haven't got the money.
Well, okay. Well, then why don't you defend Rochdale?
Well, it's a great place. All right, we don't talk about Cyril or Simon. But Gracie Fields and Lisa Stansfield came from here.
Come on a minute. And Lisa Stansfield is fantastic. I love her. I think she's brilliant. But when did she last have a hit? And Gracie Fields? I mean, she was born in, like, 1903.
Yeah.
Has nothing happened? Lisa Stansfield, what, probably born about 1967, I'm guessing. Has nobody been born in the last 45 years?
Well, a few of us.
Yeah, but famous people, Carl. Not you, you muppet. Of course, we're having babies in Rochdale. Oh. But famous babies. Any famous babies in Rochdale?
Well, you didn't specify that, did you?
No, he's right.
You're right. He's got you there. He's destroyed you.
He's destroyed me there. Quack, quack. Oops. He's destroyed me there.
Yeah.
Not really. There was another gypsy programme on Channel 5. I never bought into the gypsy programmes, Big Fat Gypsy Wedding, and I never quite got the...
It was always poking fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, I never really got it. Here we go. Is this girl Britain's pickiest singleton? Let's find out. Let's read the story, guys, and let's find out once and for all, shall we? She's had 77 first dates and rates them all out of 20 on a spreadsheet. But Anna still can't find Mr. Right. In the search for Mr. Right, most women have a general idea of the sort of man they might get along with. But one singleton is a little more specific in her quest for love. Anna Heaton, 29, rates all her first dates out of 20 on a spreadsheet, judging them on criteria including looks, personality and the spark between them. She's a very attractive young lady.
Let's see.
She's a very, very attractive young lady, look.
Right.
So she can pick and choose, I would have thought. But her mark scheme is so strict that none of the romances have progressed very far. And she's now been on almost 80 first dates in just 20 years. Well, good for her. You've got a...
20 years? No, she's not been dating them for 20 years.
Sorry, 80 first dates in just 2 years. Narrow that down. Miss Heaton says she wants to find the one before her 30th birthday
in
May.
This is the problem.
But she won't settle for anyone who is less than perfect. The project manager from Battersea in southwest London became single 2 years ago. And since then has been on 77 first dates, which is roughly one every 10 days. Oh. She says she's tried every method of meeting a man, including dating apps such as Tinder and Bumble.
Oh.
What's Bumble?
I don't know.
Don't know Bumble. Blind dates set up by friends, men chosen by her mother. And I'm looking for the hook, and I'm wondering if this is the hook. And even going on ITV show Take Me Out. But I don't think it's one coming up. I think it's happened. The spreadsheet started as a joke among her work friends, but soon became a strict rating process. Miss Heaton admits she's very picky, explaining he's got to be tall with a rugby player physique. I like a posh boy with a pink shirt. Well,
wow, that is specific.
If you're dictating the colour of the shirt... Hi, Ian, I've been listening since 10 and didn't realise you've been on Periscope tonight until you mentioned it earlier. It seems you've blocked me. I possibly have. Were you being a dick? Were you being a dick on Periscope? I'd struggle with Periscope. I use it on this show and on the Virgin show on Sunday mornings because we need to get listeners every which way we can. And we've got a load of new listeners through doing it. But then I've seen some of the messages that you people, that some of you people type up on there. God, geez, you're mean. Jeez, you're mean, you know. And I don't look back on it, but I know I get people who message me say such and such and said this and such and such. Jeez, you're mean. I mean, when we did the show on Monday with the one caller per hour, it was always going to be a different show and not everyone was going to dig it. And that's cool and that's fine. But we flagged up, you know, a week in advance, it was going to be a different show. And I had the Periscope in front of me. And I just saw immediately. You know, 2 minutes into the show, well, this isn't working. This has failed. I thought Kath coming back would save it. This is bloody awful. Come on here, admit that this is... And then the Scottish bloke came on. Can't understand a word this idiot's saying. Why couldn't they get someone English? Come on, Ian, this isn't working. Admit all of this stuff. And that's why I turned it off on Monday night, because I just thought, jeez. So, if I've blocked you, then I would suggest that someone has flagged up to me that you have been mean, and it will be someone that I trust. I don't, you just send me random emails, someone that I trust. I like a posh boy with a pink shirt, nicely dressed, and someone that doesn't take themselves too seriously, she said.
She said, closing her spreadsheet.
I can't stand a man without a sense of humour. Yeah, okay, right. I'm still looking for why this is in the newspapers. I can't. She added, it makes me sound neurotic, but I would rather be alone for the rest of my life than be with the wrong person. I just want to find that one person. Miss Heaton appeared on Take Me Out in April, in which a single man tries to impress a lineup of 30 women and chooses one for a date. She was picked by Neil Smith, 30, from Northampton, but she decided not to take the relationship further after they got back from a trip to Tenerife. After mentioning her dating tactics on the programme, she was bombarded with texts from ex-boyfriends who were shocked to hear they had been given ratings on her spreadsheet. Miss Heaton went on her 77th and unsuccessful date on Saturday. She said, it's always me who ends up not wanting to date more, and a lot of them think there is something wrong with me. I know what I'm looking for, and I just haven't found it. I often have a lot in common with them. I just don't fancy them. I would like to not get to 100 before I turn 30, but that is probably the reality. Here's the thing. She says, I'd never settle for anything but the best. Here we go. But I did think that by 30 I would be on the verge of being engaged. Methinks it's not her not wanting a second date, that it's actually a lot of these gentlemen going, yeah, we, this is our first date, we've not even ordered our meal yet, and you're talking about getting engaged?
Yeah.
All my friends are married or have boyfriends, and I'm the one that's left. Don't worry, because everyone I knew was getting married around 30, and now they're all getting divorced. So it'll be fine. It'll be fine. You'll be able to sort yourself out at some point. Forget pencil cases. It's iPads for back-to-school kids.
Oh.
Go on.
There's an advert recently.
Yes.
That I heard for John Lewis saying everything for your child going to university. And I was thinking, what, like angle poise lamps and yes. stuff like that? No, they're talking about laptops. And it said,
what?
Ideal for taking notes in lectures. So everyone sits there now with laptops out, do they?
I never took...
How do you pretend to be asleep with a laptop? I used to put my head in my hands, pretend I was reading my book.
Ben has replied, Ben, I wasn't been watching you on there for the past year without ever being blocked. Ben, send me your username. Send me your username if you want, ian@ianlee.com. I just hate, here's the thing, I hate having to police something when I'm trying to do a radio show. Have I got to be like that gobby teacher on that Educating Manchester programme? Would he have twatty teeth or something? What did I say? I know what I said, ruder than that. Ben, someone will have told me, and it will be someone that I trust, mate. And I'm sorry. Send me your username, and we'll have a little look. ian@ianlee.com, or you can yes, email me, because I'm going to do it now. Flipping it. Once pupils might return to school after the summer holidays with a brand new pencil case in their bags, these days it's more likely to be a tablet. A survey found that 55% of children are given an iPad or similar device as they head back to school, compared with 46% who get a pencil case. Sorry? And you mean you can't have both? What? Oh, I see. Right, okay. It also emerged that fewer children walk to school now, down from 81% in their parents' school days to 63% now. Probably because they live further away. Mm. And almost one in three now listen to music on the way, instead of chatting with... Oh, this is stupid. Stupid story. Stupid people. Written by stupid people. For stupid people. Filler in the newspaper, and it was filler on the radio. Well, tonight's show won't be going on past 1 o'clock. I can tell you that.
No.
I can tell you that for now. But maybe tomorrow as well. Tomorrow night, 11 o'clock. We start the show at 10, of course. 11 o'clock, we've got this interview with Jeremy Vine. I really think you're going to enjoy it. I think you're going to go, oh, I wasn't expecting him to be so warm and charming and funny. That's us for tonight. Thank you to Jeff Lloyd. Thank you to Sam. Thank you to Catherine. Back tonight at 10. Ta-ta.